about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's show them off.
Yeehaw!
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 Yes, we are doing this.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Well, it's getting dark. We should probably start a fire.
Man, how do we do that? Hey, do you think there's directions about starting fires in the song, We Didn't Start the Fire?
I don't think so.
I better go through it all. Stuff, stuff, stuff and stuff. History and stuff and stuff. People, people, someone's name. History and sports. Big disaster, someone's name. Stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff. History, someone's name. Something I don't know. Famous guy, movie star, don't know who these people are. Stuff and stuff and history, yelling really loud at me. Okay, how's the fire coming?
And now.
Thanks for that information. How about a little radio silence?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Monday morning, the 9th of March.
Allie, what are you doing?
Oh, why?
It's no way to live a life.
It's not. I had a full-on spaz attack this morning.
Sweet.
What happened?
Well, I like a lot of liquids.
Mm-hmm.
I make a iced coffee. Hi. I make an iced coffee and usually a hot coffee. I drink the hot coffee on the way there, meaning here, and things usually go fine.
Mm-hmm.
Except this morning as I walked to my car, I said, you know what? You don't need this much liquid. And then the universe told me, you are correct.
Ah.
And spilled all over my front seat.
Sweet.
My keys flew in the air, landed in the cup as I was falling backwards.
Of course they did.
Good.
So, yeah, I've got that going for me.
All right.
It was a fun morning.
You spilled the hot or you spilled the cold?
I was dumb and did 2 colds this morning.
Oh.
Well, or smart.
Could have been a lot worse if you'd spilled hot all over you.
Yeah, but I smell great if you like coffee.
Your new perfume, caffeine-flavored perfume.
Yep.
Very nice.
Yeah, I can wring out my right boob if you need a cup.
That's not really how you want to start the week, I don't think.
No.
All right.
Thanks for bringing it up.
Uh-huh. But at least it feels like 4:30, right?
It does.
Well, our clock says 4:30. I know that. Our clock says 4:34.
They haven't changed the clocks at K-Rock?
Every time.
That's
every single, and it wouldn't change unless we complained about it either.
But aren't they digital?
Yeah.
Don't digital clocks just change themselves?
You'd think.
That's hilarious.
It says 4:34:27.
That is hilarious. Well, yep. How many times are you going to screw that up today?
All.
Speaking of coffee, before we get started on today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, and I think it's going to be a good one. You guys probably saw this video, but if you didn't, this is a reporter. Allie, you'll love this story because you used to have to do the live shots all the time for Channel 5. This is a traffic reporter in Baltimore for Fox Channel 45 there. And they've had, as you know, they've just had a terrible, terrible winter. And he's the guy who goes out on the roads and just drives all the, you know, all the major thoroughfares to report back to the station. His name is Traffic Jam Jimmy.
Yeah.
And Candace Dold is the anchor at the time, and she throws it to him for his live traffic update. Unfortunately, he's in a McDonald's drive-thru at the time ordering breakfast. So here's how a little bit of that went on Channel 45.
Oh, wow, deteriorating conditions for sure. It's incredible to see what's happening out there. Let's start off with our traffic jam, Jimmy. He's out in our Lens Solar Mobile Track, and he's been everywhere from Pennsylvania now down through Towson. Hi, Jimmy. What's the latest?
Hello. Please move forward to the next speaker.
Hey. Is it too early to get a fish sandwich? Oh, next speaker. Hang on. Oh, Candace, we live? Whoops. Hey, I've been in the car since 4 o'clock. I'm starving.
All right. So, Candace, are we live? Whoops. He's been in the car since 4 o'clock. He's just in a McDonald's drive-thru trying to get himself some breakfast right now.
Let me just back up a second. So they get their traffic by driving around?
KTLA does that as well.
They do?
A lot of TV stations have somebody out on the roads, yeah.
Huh.
They may also have a helicopter, but they have somebody who can go to and see, you know, what the backups are and why and whatnot, too.
Huh.
So he's ordering food, but he's not going to let being on live TV deter him.
Real quick. Hey, too early to get a fish sandwich?
Okay, well.
Malcolm?
Yeah, can I get a fish sandwich?
We're on breakfast right now.
Breakfast? All right, give me a
fish sandwich.
Egg McMuffin and a black coffee. Thank you.
What size would you like?
Medium.
I love the fact that he does not, like, put pause on ordering his food, even though he's on live TV.
Yeah.
And you heard that Candace was like, okay. Like, she wanted to bail on the segment, but he just keeps on going. I think I love Traffic Jam Jimmy.
I know you do.
All right, I'll tell you, folks. Stay put. It's bad out here. I've been out since 4. Stay put, folks. Trust me. I didn't know we were coming live. I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm hungry, so I'm going to get a little something to eat. I expect you to work for 8 hours in the car. You got to eat, Candace. All right, anyway, don't tell the boss I did this. Right. How much are you, buddy?
$4.46.
All right. All right, I'll be back in a little while.
All right.
Second time.
Do you think he's just trying to be funny?
No, I think he was trying to order some breakfast. I mean, he said he'd been in the car for 8 hours already.
Do you have the video up, Bean? Can you see it?
Yes.
Do you notice the McDonald's pillow?
I did. I did see that. And people have wondered maybe if this is just an attempt at some viral marketing for McDonald's. That has been discussed, but apparently he is a fanatic at McDonald's. He goes there almost every single day. So to me, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that the pillow could just be his love for the product.
Oh, that's bizarre. Don't most of us have that thing that kicks in where you go, oh, no, I should be doing something else. So I'm going to at least try and fake it.
He looks pretty casual.
He doesn't care.
No.
Jimmy, he doesn't look like he gets rattled by much.
I will say at KTLA, where I used to work, there was an instance where they came to the guy in the little traffic mobile when he didn't think they were going to, and he was at a drive-thru.
Okay.
Really? The same thing happened to him, huh?
But he was at a Burger King drive-thru.
Okay.
And the traffic is sponsored by McDonald's.
Oh.
And he got in a little bit of trouble.
Wow. Yeah. Ouch. So your BS meter, Allie, is that this is all fake?
Yeah.
You don't think it's real just because of the pillow?
Yeah, I think they're either sponsored by McDonald's or they're about to announce a sponsorship.
Ah,
interesting.
That's a weird way to go about it, though.
Right. We're talking about it.
Yeah. But, Kevin, how much do you want a fish sandwich right now?
Right.
I don't really like the fish sandwiches, but I did love that guy more than anything. But fish sandwiches,
they're so good. Yeah. Filet of fish, so good.
Okay.
Even not on Friday.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBean Show, shall we?
Hey, it's too early to get a fish sandwich.
Yes, it is.
Can I get a fish sandwich?
Nope. It's too early. I'm sorry. On the program today, we have thanks for that tweet, Bean.
Yes.
How dare you?
Did you spend the weekend on fire, Bean, with daylight savings?
I tried to dial it back a little bit. I had a few well-placed, I think, effective tweets, but you can't fight.
I'm sorry, what, Chip?
Nope.
You can't fight them all.
Well-placed and effective.
I was willing to try.
I was pleased to see on Sunday, though, that daylight saving time, correct, was a trending topic, though.
Not savings.
Yeah, that was made me feel good.
All right. Exciting. If a trending topic can make you feel good, good enough.
Well, just that it was correct for once. In past years, that hasn't been the case.
All right.
So I feel like we're making progress.
Okay, good. We're going to announce a contest where you can open Foolishness. We'll give you all the details a little bit later, but we're going to let you get up on stage in front of the actual comedians and be funny, or whatever it is you do. We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, like we do on Mondays, and we have Charlton Copley on the program today. Very exciting. I said his name right for the first time. That's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:51.
Showtime.
Been a long time since I heard that More Than Words by Extreme, by the way. That's a great way to get the day started.
I don't believe that's the same song.
Hey, Ralph Garman, how was your weekend, man?
It was busy.
Like you do?
Like I do. But it was lovely. We had a fundraising event over the weekend for my kids' nursery school, and I was hosting, and we had a live auction and a casino night, and DJ Omar Khan was on the ones and twos.
Wow.
We had a big-ass event, and everybody had a really good time, so it was
good
it
times.
Was fun.
Hey, I don't remember when I was growing up. Of course, I don't remember anything about when I was growing up,
sure.
But did they have fundraisers for kindergartens back then?
This isn't for kindergarten. This is for nursery school. It's for preschool.
Okay. Did they have fundraisers for things like that back in the day, or is that a relatively new thing?
I don't know.
Well, I went to public school, so
yeah, same.
No fundraiser. Sometimes you would have bake sales and things like that for special events if you needed to raise money, or bazaars. Remember bazaars? Was kind of like a
yard sale,
but you would do it at the school or whatever, and kids would bring stuff in, and you'd sell things for class projects and things like that if you needed extra money.
So it's on a much smaller scale than what it sounds like you did this
weekend. Well, it's different between a private school and a public school. Public school obviously is funded by tax dollars,
no one
in our case, and then the private school. Then you pay a tuition, to your kid to keep the school up and running. But if they have additional construction they want to do, or they want to buy equipment for the kids or whatever, that all costs extra money. So they have an annual fundraiser.
Wow, it's very hoity-toity, man. You get DJ Omar Khan in there, man. That's serious.
Everyone, they were just standing
that's
around.
Big time right
the
there.
Slack-jawed, staring at him in awe as he just worked the wheels of steel. Everybody was just flummoxed, if you will.
Well, it is Monday, and it's time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What else is going on?
This daylight saving sucks, right?
Saving?
Yeah, I guess.
No, I'm over it.
You having a hard time with it?
I'm with you there, Ralph.
This morning was particularly difficult, and I hate it.
They should cancel it. They should stop it.
They should stop it. It's ridiculous.
A lot of states are protesting against it. I think they're going to vote in Oregon this year to get rid of it in that state.
And here's a little tidbit for you. Take this with you to work or school and share it with your friends. Heart attacks, traffic collisions, and workplace accidents all increase in the days after the daylight savings time switch.
Saving.
Is that right?
It's science. People die because of this stupid hour. People die because you move your clock an hour. That seems like a good reason to stop doing it. Stop killing people with your clocks.
I agree with you, and I want it to be done with, but do you enjoy the extra daylight at the end of the day?
What am I doing with it?
Do you enjoy it being light out until 7:30?
Why do I care?
Well, a lot of people do.
I'm not milking cows.
But a lot of people, I think the argument is, and again, I'm against it, but I think the argument is most people have a regular job where they get home 5:30, 6, 6:30 or something like that, and they don't like coming home in the dark, and it's nice to have a little bit of light at the end of the day.
What are they doing with that light?
Not being in the dark, I think, cheers them up. Well, being able to see a sunset, I think, makes some people feel better.
Just as long as they're happy.
Allie, what do you think?
I'm all for letting go of that hour, and I like it darker earlier. Less kids playing, annoying me outside.
See? I get up when it's dark and I go to bed when it's dark. I don't really care what happens in between those two things.
But that hour doesn't really throw you that off, does it?
It means an hour less sleep.
Yeah, I know.
I'm already tired enough.
No, I hear you.
I don't need to be more tired.
I hear
you. You don't hear me. I don't need to be more tired than I am, which is already too much tired.
Oh, so you're tired enough.
Tired. I'm plenty tired.
Remember, Jimmy Kimmel used to be thrown off for, he would say months. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month and a half.
Boy, that circadian rhythm, dude.
He just recovered in time for the next time change, I think.
Circadian rhythm.
I don't get that.
That's what I'm saying. All right. Enough of my belly aching. Let's get to the showbiz news like we do. Before I do, though, let me give you something. I'm going to give you some passes to the K-Rock screening of the Divergent series, Insurgent. Hold on, kids. You didn't even get the whole title. Let me give you the whole title again, kids. It's the Divergent series, Insurgent.
You're right.
Thank you, Rodney. This is, of course, the first of what I'm expecting will be many in the Divergent series. That's why they're giving us the heads up. It's the Divergent series. This is just Insurgent. The first of the, is this
the
first?
The second one.
The second one.
This is the second one.
This is the second of what I'm sure will be many Divergent films. This is Divergent Series 2, Insurgent.
Right.
Shailene Woodley. We love Shailene Woodley.
We do love her.
She likes the extra hour of sunshine.
She does.
She likes it on her vagina.
She does. She puts it right down there.
Ansel Elgort, Theo James, and more. Beatrice is back. And she has to confront her inner demons and continue her fight against the powerful alliance which threatens to tear her society apart. If you'd like to go, I've got tickets for our special K-Rock screening March 16th at the Pacific Grove Theater. The movies and theaters everywhere on March the 20th, so you can check it out then. But call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers get a pair of passes to see the Divergent series, Insurgent.
I dig.
Sure is the second one. I knew it was the second one.
Yeah.
That's why I saw those commercials. This looks familiar. speaking of movies, top 10 movies at the box office. We always take a look on Monday morning. Chappie was the weekend's big winner. And by that, I mean it did less poorly than the other films.
Ooh, rough weekend?
It only made $13.3 million at the box office, but that was enough this weekend to make it number one. Focus was second with $10 million. The second exotic Marigold Hotel did very well for itself, considering its small budget. $8.6 million in its debut made it third. Kingsman, The Secret Service, was fourth, then the SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, at number five. 50 Shades of Grey was sixth. McFarlane USA was seventh. The Lazarus Effect was number eight. Number nine was The Duff. And then at number 10, in its debut, our buddy Vince Vaughn's Unfinished Business.
Ouch.
Debuted at number 10.
with just $4.8 million at the box office. What's wrong with you, America?
4.8.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we all saw it here. We all enjoyed this film a lot.
That's a big surprise.
That is, and it's that's rude is what it is. It's just rude, America. You're just being rude to Vince Vaughn, who's an excellent dude.
You know, I was thinking about this yesterday, Ralph. I wonder if some of Hollywood's box office woes, and of course, every once in a while, there'll be an outlier. There'll be a 50 Shades that'll come out and make $100 million. But for the most part, the box office is down compared to years past. Do you think some of it has to do with there's so much great television now that we use our weekends to catch up on the shows that we're behind on? You think there might be something to that? I mean, you could go out and see something that looks like it might be good, or you can watch the next five episodes of fill in the blank, Empire, House of Cards, Scandal, whatever it is you're behind on that you love.
Yeah, maybe that is. Maybe there's a
I just wonder
contributing factor.
If TV is hurting movies now, even more than ever.
Wow, that is a very savvy analysis right there.
It Thank you, sir.
You're pretty savvy an analyst. You're a savvy analyst. That's what you are. Speaking of television... Sad/good news for some about Gotham, the show over there on Fox, which I love. I'm heartbroken. I'm crestfallen.
What happened?
Jada Pinkett Smith has announced she is leaving Gotham.
No!
Fish Spoonie will not be back. Fish Mooney,
it's
of course,
Mooney,
is her character.
Yeah,
I call her Fish Spoonie
because
if you saw,
she spooned out her
you
eye.
Saw the last. Hello!
Oh, sorry,
spoiler
sorry,
alert!
Sorry. Jesus, Kevin.
But wasn't that 2 weeks ago?
It was.
All right. All right. Look, Kevin at KRock.com. You can look at me with shock and all you want, Kevin. I'm just telling you, there's going to be some people who are going to be ticked off.
All right. Sorry.
She was on Live with Kelly and Michael on Friday, and they asked her, so are you coming back for the next season? She said, no, I don't think so. I signed up for a year, and the year is up. There are some great things coming ahead on Gotham, believe you me. Yeah, I guess, but you're not one of them. So she will not be returning. Of course, Fox will not confirm or deny her exit, but it sounds like she's already taken care of that for them. So
I'm fine with that, by the way. I'm fine with losing Fish.
I make fun, but she's a bombastic actress and character. But I thought that was part of the fun, was kind of her character.
Yeah.
The whole show's sort of over the top.
Yeah, so. Well, not as much as she is, but still, I, for one, will... Miss Fish Mooney.
You look so psycho when you do that.
Well,
I wish people could see it.
That's what I do, baby. today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Linda Fiorentino. Boy, she's got the goods right there.
It's a good deal.
She's 55 years old today. Shannon Leto. You may know him as the drummer from 30 Seconds to Mars. He is also related, I think, to the lead singer of that particular band. 45 years old today. Emmanuel Lewis. Little Emmanuel Lewis.
Oh, Webster.
Webster. He's 44 years old. LA Clippers forward Matt Barnes is 35. How did this name get on the list? Who makes this list?
Makes the list, so all Clippers get in there.
Newfound Glory guitarist Chad Gilbert's 34. Soccer player Clint Dempsey. Really? Clint Dempsey. Who is Clint Dempsey,
oh,
Kevin?
Oh, stop it.
Who's Clint
Dempsey? He plays for the Seattle Sounders, and he's the U.S. star. He's the captain of the U.S. soccer team.
Why is he on my
because he
why
should
is
be.
My list of celebrity
he
birthdays?
He should be on there.
But is he a celebrity, Clint Dempsey? Is Clint Dempsey a celebrity? If I go out to the street and I offer a $20 bill to the next person and say, tell me who Clint Dempsey is.
It depends on who you ask.
Am I going to be $20 poorer? That's what I need to know from you.
Let's send mugs out to the bus stop in front of K-Rock.
All right, with
a
$20
bill. And ask whoever's standing there.
All right, fair enough.
Let's do that and have that report 1 hour from right now.
And actress Brittany Snow is 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Good morning, sir.
Morning, guys.
They never change the clocks when the time change happens. So then we come in on the Monday morning and all the clocks are an hour behind and it totally screws us up.
Is that true?
Yep.
The station they didn't change?
Oh, no. It's, yes.
It's not only true, but what will happen is the same thing every single time, which is that we'll tell them that it's not the correct time, and they will deny that it's possible. They'll say, we can't set it. And we'll go, that doesn't make any sense. Set it. And then they'll set it.
You know what they're trying to do?
What?
They're trying to keep you an hour later.
That's what it is. Maybe so. Maybe so. Well, Harvey, welcome back, sir. We missed you last week. We're glad to have you on the program today. Very disturbing video. In the long history of TMZ, have you ever put up video of a man being killed before?
No, but this one is actually the person who died. His family wanted us to put this up. And it is the critical piece of evidence in the case that will determine whether Suge Knight spends the rest of his life in prison or not. This is the surveillance video from the parking lot where Suge Knight ran over two people, killing one. And it is really interesting video when you look at it. We blurred the guy as he gets run over because it really is gruesome.
But, it is.
But let me just say, this could end up working for Suge Knight, depending on how it's presented.
Working for him?
I'll explain.
Okay, yes.
Suge Knight pulls into this parking lot. And, you know, he had this beef with Dr. Dre over the movie Straight Outta Compton. And he had just been kicked off a set 20 minutes earlier. And he says he was set up and they told him, come back to this new location. And Dre wants to make peace with you. So he pulls up, and just as he gets in the driveway, just 1 second after he gets there, one of these guys, his name is Clay Bone Sloan, comes charging at Suge's truck, comes up to the window. You see him, hitting Suge, and Suge is still sitting in the car.
Now, hold it right there. Now, I thought this guy was his friend.
No. This is Claybone Sloan.
Right.
He is not his friend.
Oh, okay.
So Claybone Sloan is working security for Dr. Dre.
Okay, all right.
So for about, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds, you see Claybone Sloan clearly getting aggressive with Suge at the window. Suge claims that the guy said he had a gun and that he even saw a gun. And Suge got scared and backed up real fast. When he backs up, he hits Bone with his rearview mirror. The rearview mirror flies off and Bone drops to the ground.
Right.
About 10 or 15 seconds later, and you see a group of people forming in the upper part of the screen, Suge, rather than going just straight down the street and getting away, he pulls back into the parking lot and he runs over Bone and then runs over this other guy that Terry, the guy he ends up killing. Now, Suge's position is that I didn't go straight down the street because these other people were armed. I felt they were going to kill me. Bone had a gun, and I felt that if I went straight, they were going to kill me as I tried to get away. So I tried to go into the parking lot because it was my only means of escape. Now, in terms of whether anybody had a gun, when Bone is laying on the ground after getting run over, another guy, one of those guys who was standing in the upper part of the screen, comes running over to Bone as he's laying on the ground, grabs something from Bone's waistband, and it looks like a gun, and then puts it in his waistband and walks away. So, you know, I'm not saying that this video is great for Suge Knight, but Suge Knight can use that video to tell a story of fear and that he feared for his life and try and explain why he didn't go straight and just get the hell out of there as opposed to going in the parking lot and hitting two guys.
I think you can make that argument, but I would also say that he sped up fast and looked like he was intentionally trying to kill that guy. I mean, he looked like he was trying to run that guy over, not that he was just trying to get past him to get into the parking lot, don't you think?
Well, I think that's certainly an argument on the side of the prosecutor, but on the other side, you could say if somebody really believes people have guns and they're going to shoot you, and you know that the guy who had just attacked you had a gun, and that there are his friends are all standing around there, that you don't go 5 miles an hour through the parking lot. You try to get the hell out of Dodge.
Right.
So that's the argument he's going to make.
Harvey, you mentioned that Suge was asked to go to that parking lot to make peace with Dr. Dre. Was Dre on the scene at the time?
Dre had not come yet, but Dre was going to be there. These were all kind of promo shoots for Straight Outta Compton.
Right.
And Dre was at the other location. Now, what Suge is saying is this guy, Terry Carter, the guy he killed, he believes Terry Carter, you know, we were told initially that they were friends. They really weren't friends so much, but Terry Carter did call him up and say, look, according to Suge, and say, look, come over here. Dre wants to make peace with you. Suge claims that Terry Carter was part of the setup.
Did we know that this video existed? I remember at the time the question was, was there any video? But this has been around this whole time. It's just now been released, though.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, initially, the people from the burger place didn't tell us the truth, and they said there was the cameras weren't working. It turns out they were working, and that the police had it, and then each side got a copy of it. And, the video is from the burger parking lot, shows the whole thing from beginning to end, and, you know, this is going to be the prosecution's main piece of evidence. And again, you could tell the story exactly the way you did, which is Suge had a means of escape. He could have gotten away. Instead of getting away, he roars into the parking lot and mows down two guys at a really high rate of speed. So, you know, it's almost like, you know, two pieces of video, and depending on how you look at it, either he's really guilty or not.
Well, the video is up at the top of TMZ.com right now. There is a warning on there that it is graphic content, but it's not so graphic. It's not a close-up. It's not bloody or anything like that, but you can certainly see the figures involved in what happened. Was there any kind of debate in the newsroom, Harvey, about whether to post the video?
Yeah, we always talk about that stuff, but this was, you know, number one, the family of the guy who died really wanted this out because they see it a certain way.
Right.
So they aggressively wanted this thing out. And again, this is the critical. It's all, you know what it's like? It's almost like the Rodney King video in the sense that that video tells a huge story about what happened with Rodney King. This is the same thing.
Harvey, how many times have you watched that clip?
Well, I mean, I've watched it a lot before we posted the story because we wanted to make sure that we got the nuances of this thing. So I've seen it a bunch.
You put it in slow motion and everything else, so you can kind of tell.
Yeah, I mean, we really looked at this because, again, you don't see, I can't look at that and say with certainty they pulled a gun out of Bone's waistband. It sure looks like a gun.
All right, TMZ on Fox throughout the day on Channel 11. TMZ Live airs Monday through Friday at 4 on Fox 11. And TMZ Hollywood Sports airs Monday through Friday at 3 on The Reels Channel. Harvey, great work as usual. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys, we'll see you.
Thank you.
Daylight savings, daylight savings, daylight savings. No one gives a shit.
How dare you?
Well, they're right.
They are right.
How dare you? What are we?
I know somebody who cares. I can tell from the tweets this weekend. Somebody cares.
It's time for
that tweet.
Beans. Oh, this is like Beans Christmas. Do you celebrate like half daylight savings time?
It's a saving, first of all.
Because you know you're cranky.
It's not
get
really
your cranky up.
Like my Christmas as much as it's my April 15th. This is like the worst day of the year for me.
Okay, let's get to them, shall we? At NBC News, guys, we want to be able to trust you, but when you can't get a simple thing like daylight saving, never savings time right.
I just think that in the light of the Brian Williams scandal, NBC News ought to be doing everything they can to be as accurate as possible.
Not comparable, by the way.
Not even close.
I didn't say it was comparable. I'm just saying this is the time where NBC News should be dotting their I's and crossing their T's.
Right. They should have a big meeting and say, you know, fellas, if we say like daylight saving time, I think we can get America's trust back.
They need to be on point.
Somebody get Lester Holt on the phone and make sure he has a big story on daylight saving time with no S.
Allie, we haven't heard your take on this. You're with me that it just makes sense to be right, right?
I agree. And back when I would listen to the show, I understood your anger.
Right.
Because I also get angry with Valentine's and things like that. But this means a lot to a lot of people.
No.
No?
No. It means a lot to a few people.
Well, it means a lot to one person.
Or one. I mean, well-placed and effective, I think, is his point.
At CBS LA, even my own company gets it wrong. It's daylight saving time, not savings. Come on. Hashtag shame on you.
Oh, he loves that hashtag.
Shame on you?
Shame on you.
It's not the Holocaust.
How many times have we played the drop of shame on you, CBS? Shame on you. That was the end joke there.
And if we didn't get it, who do you think did? Here's what's funny is we came in today and I said, Bean, you must have just gone crazy on Twitter. And he said, no, not really. I a couple of well-placed and effective tweets.
There were
a few tweet.
Bing! I won't get into them. There were a few Twitter battles back and forth with some listeners who were just poking the bear. Like real quickly, excited for daylight savings time. Someone sent Bean, and he sent back. I have not heard of anything by that name.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, I have to put a hard protective shell around me at this point. Come on.
Beans and daylight savings, asshole!
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean! You want to hear a few others?
Sure.
Unrelated to daylight savings time?
Oh, all right. Sure.
Saving.
At DirecTV Service, hey, any chance you can offer the C-SPAN channels in high def soon? It's hard to watch anything in standard definition in 2015. Thank you. C-SPAN in high def?
C-SPAN. Why do you need C-SPAN in high def ever?
Why do you need C-SPAN ever?
That's right.
First of all, C-SPAN is awesome. But second of all, don't you want all of your channels in high def? You know what it's like when you come across, you know, MyTV or something and it's in standard. It looks terrible.
But you pick a channel but that C-SPAN? Nobody watches. How about any channel?
There are 600 other channels on DirecTV that need high definition before we get to C-SPAN.
But only one of them is offering the programming that C-SPAN offers, though. And by the way, let me just tell you this. Yeah, got a response back from C-SPAN that said they do offer all three of their channels in high def, but DirecTV chooses not to carry them in high def. How about that?
DirecTV's making the right decision.
Did DirecTV respond with, no one gives an F?
No.
Well, they should have.
Tweet.
Didn't hear back from them, I'm sad to say.
I ate at a Denny's diner this morning that I'd never been to before. So don't tell me I'm old and too set in my ways.
Oh.
Wow.
What was that noise?
Oh, that was sadness.
That was, palpable sadness.
You're a sad little fella.
That wasn't sad. I felt like that was a breakthrough for me to get out of my routine and mix it up and try something different.
With a different restaurant that's exactly the same?
But it was a different location, though. It was one that I hadn't been to before.
It wasn't all Mexican food?
No, it was still, you know, Denny's.
Still Denny's! Did they have moons over Miami?
Exact same menu.
The exact same menu, though. Well, yeah, I mean, it's a franchise restaurant. Yeah, it's the same everywhere, except I was at a different one. I felt pretty good about that. I felt like I was living on the edge a little bit.
Excited about my upcoming Mississippi vacation, but after Oprah's birthplace and the world's largest cedar bucket, what is there to see?
Come on. Come on.
I will tell you that Mississippi is not chock full of attractions.
Why are you going there?
Nobody forced you to go.
You guys know how I do.
Well, don't. Stop doing.
We wish we knew how you didn't.
Thanks for that tweet.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
This is the seventh year for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. This time it's coming up at the Shrine on a Tram on April the 4th. We want to first of all say thank you to everybody who bought tickets over the weekend. It did sell out, as we warned you it would. But this is the first time we've ever done this, giving you the opportunity to open the show.
Yeah.
If you're funny, you want to stick around. We'll tell you how you can do that. You can open April Foolishness details in about 10 minutes. Charlotte Copley joins us next hour from Chappie as well. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
Let's not undersell this. If you are in L.A. and you are a struggling stand-up comedian and you're desperate to make it in that field, to open this show, to perform at this venue in front of this crowd with these other comics,
be pretty cool.
It'd be the best thing that could ever happen in your life.
Yeah, that's good. It's a big break.
We're giving you. The greatest thing that could ever happen to you.
Plus, you could put on your resume that you've opened for every one of those people, including Tenacious D.
That's right. You played in front of a massive crowd at the, where is it again?
Shrine.
Auditorium. It's a massive opportunity. So if you know a comedian, wake them up, because they're probably not awake right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they are drunken layabouts and stoners. A lot of them. So call him and wake him up and say, dude, I have a chance for you to get out of your miserable existence. Kevin and Bean are giving you a chance to open April Foolishness. So do that. It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Chappie, number one. We got Chappie coming in today.
We sure do.
Chappie's coming in.
I'm as scared of him. I've seen what he can do. He's a powerful robot.
It's just a movie. Charlton Copley is the voice of Chappie that I'm referring to, of course. $13.3 million made it number one this weekend. Then Focus was number two.
Will Smith, Margot Robbie, $10 million. Made it number two. The Exotic, second Exotic Marigold Hotel in its debut, $8.6 million. Was third. Then the Kingsman movie, SpongeBob movie. Those were your top five. 50 Shades of Grey was sixth. McFarlane USA was seventh. The Lazarus Effect, The Duff. And then Vince Vaughn's new film, Unfinished Business, coming at number 10 this weekend.
That's unacceptable.
Debuted with just $4.8 million in box office. That is...
Wow.
That's you should be ashamed of yourselves, America. deserve Vince Vaughn.
How are the reviews? Is that an issue?
Mixed.
Not great.
Mixed. Yeah.
But...
most of the time, mixed doesn't kill you.
Look, that movie's not for everybody, but...
It's funnier than a lot of movies.
Yeah, if you like Vince Vaughn, you'll like the movie.
Vince Vaughn is for everybody. I'll come right out and say it. He is for everybody. And if he's not for you, maybe reevaluate your life.
Right. Maybe then it's time to, you know what I'm saying? Check out.
Maybe not that far.
The checkout.
It's a little extreme.
Check out. The long goodbye.
I don't think
the big nap.
That's not what we're saying.
Lay down.
That isn't what we're saying.
This is Amal Clooney. Are they calling her Amal Clooney now? Or is she still Amal Alameddine?
She seems like the type to not take her husband's last name, doesn't she?
I'm guessing, probably. You know, now she's married to George Clooney. She is just kicking back, lunching with the girls, flirting with the pool boy, popping bonbons in her mouth, watching her stories. Oh, no, wait a minute. It's just been announced she'll be teaching human rights law at Columbia University this spring.
Okay, all right.
George Clooney found the one woman that crushes him in every department.
He should take her last name.
That's what's going to happen. Clooney's the coolest person on the planet. She dwarfs him on every level.
Yeah.
She's pretty spectacular.
I still laugh when I think about that Tina Fey line about how crazy it was that he was getting the Lifetime Achievement Award when he's married to her.
Absolutely. Hey, good news. Madonna says Kanye West is the new Madonna.
Oh, Madonna says that,
yeah,
does she?
Madonna said that.
What?
She told the New York Daily News, Kanye's the new Madonna. Kanye is the black Madonna.
Continue?
That's what she says. She's announcing that Kanye's the new Madonna.
And she's good with that.
She's great with that. She says, we know and recognize that we have that in common. We're comrades in the envelope-pushing genre. They're all about pushing the envelope together. They've just worked together, apparently, so...
Okay.
Here's the thing everyone needs to worry about less. Pushing the envelope. Don't worry about the envelope. Just leave the envelope on the desk.
Leave it
Go
where it is.
Go do some good work, and we'll worry about the envelope. Because you know what happens when all you care about is pushing the envelope? You show your ass on a red carpet when you're 60,
yeah,
and you embarrass yourself. And everyone says, remember when she was good, when she made good music? That's all they remember, is the work. Just do good things. Leave your envelope on the table. With the stamps and the letter opener and all the rest of your stationery. It'll be fine. The new Madonna. We don't need a new Madonna. We already had one.
A while ago.
It's been a while.
I don't know that
but
they're...
But still, yeah. Enough. Madonna.
That's bullshit.
Hey, I heard you guys talking to Cal Penn earlier this evening.
Yes. This morning.
What time
You're
is
really
it?
Jacked up.
This daylight savings time is BS.
Saving.
I heard you talking to Cal Penn earlier this morning.
Yes.
And I am fascinated in the Indian culture. I find that part of the world fascinating to me.
It's mysterious.
It's mysterious and it's otherworldly to me. It looks like it was beyond just a cultural difference. It looks like another planet sometimes.
And there's a lot more of them than there are of us.
Yeah. Anyway, I got an email from one of our listeners in India.
Wow.
His name is Akal Thakar. And Akal wrote this email in. Ralph, in India, beer is the drink of choice. India guzzles down more than 500 million gallons of beer every year. When I'm out pub hopping with my friends insist that I'm crazy because I don't like to drink beer. My choice is sip on chilled Japanese rice wine, listening to Charlie Parker. So I just tell the bartender, just give me some ice cold sake.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Just give me ice cold sake. Just give me some ice cold sake. Just give me ice cold sake.
Nice.
Ice cold sake. I call the car. You don't know, man. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Linda Fiorentino is 55 years old today. 30 Seconds to Mars drummer Shannon Leto, 45 years old. Give him a bell. He's dreamy. Emmanuel Lewis is 44. Matt Barnes, the L.A. Clippers forward, is 35 years old today. Newfound Glory guitarist Chad Gilbert is 34. Actress Brittany Snow turns 29 years old today. And I see here on my list that there's someone named Clint Dempsey celebrating a birthday today. They claim he is a soccer player.
He is.
Clint Dempsey apparently is a person. They're claiming that first and foremost, and then they're claiming that his profession is soccer player and that he's 32 years old today.
He was the captain of the team in the World Cup in Brazil.
Wait, whose team is that?
The U.S.
Okay.
The United States
did we try
of America.
Did we try our experiment?
We did, and I don't know the results, but I have it.
We have it here now? We're ready to play?
Yes, we have the tape now.
So what we did, explain to me what, for the listeners what we did.
Well, Ralph was saying that Clint Dempsey is not a celebrity. He said if I went out on the street and offered $20, the person would have no idea who Clint Dempsey was. So we said, hey, we happen to have people out in front of the building all the time. There's a bus stop in front of K-Rock. Let's send mugs out there with the K-Rock microphones and have him offer that $20 to see if the person at the bus stop knows who Clint Dempsey is. And none of us have heard this tape. We do not know the result or not.
All right. It is actually my actual $20. I handed mugs $20.
Okay. All right.
So let's see what happened.
Hello, sir. I'm doing a little survey right now. And for $20, can you tell me who Clint Dempsey is? You don't know who Clint Dempsey is? Can you tell me who Clint Dempsey is?
I don't.
No.
These are people that don't speak English.
Shut up, Kevin. My $20.
Sir, you look reputable. For $20.
Wait a minute. Why is Beerbug passing judgment on people?
In contrast to the last two guys that I talked to,
they were effing shaky. You, sir, you look reputable.
Sir, you look reputable. For $20, can you tell me who Clint Dempsey is?
He's a soccer player.
Boom! Oh!
Boom! $20 is yours. You got... Are you a soccer fan?
Yes, I'm English, so of course.
Oh, beautiful! Oh, like, I knew you looked like the right guy. Thank you so much. Congrats. Don't spend it all in one place.
Boo. Fine, man. Thank you. Thank you.
You should have thought about that before
you
made
can't
a
go out
offer.
And ask a foreigner. He can't even spend $20. He needs pounds.
We said the people in front of the building.
America.
It was implied. American. You shut your mouth and
American
put Clint
people
Dempsey on that list.
Well, of course, boom. If you go to a Brit and ask boom. About a British celebrity, they're going to know who he is.
Boom.
I think you got rooked, Ralph.
How many people were we going to ask, by the way, until he gave away my $20? I said, if you go out there and you ask a person on the street and I offer him $20, I might say it's a safe $20. I know he's going to walk up and down the street just waving $20 in the air until someone came to him.
Boom.
Well, if you put it that way, I guess the conversation's
that's
over.
Been declared.
Because you said a four-letter word.
That's correct.
Boom.
It was reputable,
you're
I
the
guess.
Four-letter word for you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Chappie himself, Charlton Copley, joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show, coming up in about 15 minutes or so. And Chris Harrison talks tonight's Bachelor. It's the finale, right? Aren't we at the end?
I believe so.
I think that's what's happening. So, yeah, we'll talk to Chris coming up next hour.
It's like an 8-hour show tonight.
I think it is.
I'm not sure how they're going to fill it.
Hey, in all seriousness, not that I was nervous that it wasn't going to sell out because April Foolishness sells out every year. But the fact that they sold the first 98% of the tickets within 1 hour when they went on sale Friday really made me feel good. I know it doesn't have anything to do with us. I know it's because of the phenomenal lineup. You got your Tenacious D and your Gabriel Iglesias and your Ralphie May and your Jay Moore and your Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, Brad Williams. I know it's all about the comedians. And thank you again to the comedians who donate their time so generously every year so that we can raise money for some great, great, great charities. But the fact that it sold out so fast really made me happy. I don't know about you, Kevin.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a great event. It's the most fun night. You've heard so many of the comedians over the years say that it's one of their favorite shows to play because everybody is there to have a great time. Everybody is there being supportive. And now that it's sold out, how are you going to get in? Well, you're going to get in by working the event. Here's my friend Kevin to tell you more.
All right, here's what we're doing. We are going to let you open Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. So we're looking for your videos. You can go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com right now. You can click on it. You can submit a two-minute video of yourself. Doing stand-up. Do you have to be a stand-up comedian? No. You just have to be funny. And we're going to pick somebody, and that somebody is going to open, for Tenacious D and Gabriel Iglesias and that the lineup that Bean just mentioned. And that's a pretty good opportunity.
It's a great opportunity. So we have it open at krock.com or kevinandbean.com starting this morning. And you have until the close of our show, 10 a.m. on Friday, March 20th. So you've got a couple of weeks, almost a week and a half, something like that. So Friday, March 20th is the close. You want to upload a video no longer than 2 minutes. And you can get the complete details and the link on how to do that on the website right now. And then I guess what are we going to do? Like, kind of like we do with Miss Double D, is we're going to pick some finalists, maybe 10 finalists or something like that. And then the audience gets to vote on who opens the show, right?
Hold on, Bean. I'm sorry. Just 1 second. Hey, Sam. Hey, Sam. Hey, Sam. Hey, Sam.
This is going well.
How do you think?
Hold on. Now I'm fascinated. Hey, Sam. Sam.
Hello.
Sam, you know you can't listen to the radio when you're going to be on the air. You know that. There's a delay.
No, I was listening myself. Sometimes I want to record it. You know what I mean?
No. I don't know what you mean. But my point is when – never mind. How are you, Armenian comedian? What's going on?
Oh, I just had a heart procedure done. I'm feeling better.
You just had a heart procedure done?
Yes.
What was going on, Sam?
I have a very fast rhythm, you know, and they want to calm it down.
Okay. Oh, how do they do that without getting too technical?
They went through my nose and my mouth to my heart.
And did what to it, though?
Some kind of procedure burned some kind of a nerve that causes my heart beat faster.
Wow. Are you going to be okay?
I'm all right.
Was it done in the back of a van? Because it sounds pretty shaky. Sam, we're announcing this morning that people can open April Foolishness. You can go to the website and put up a two-minute clip of you being funny, and you can open April Foolishness.
Uh-huh.
How's that sound? I mean, does that sound like something you might be interested in?
Absolutely. I'm the best. You know that.
You are the best. There's no question about that.
We do know that. That's true. That's science.
So are you going to apply, Sam? I know you're just hearing about this, but do you think this is something you'll apply to do?
I want to do it, yes.
Okay.
It sounds like a question.
So do you know how to make a video and then upload it to the internet, Sam?
No, I don't have no facilities.
Okay. Well, I mean, you just need a phone. I mean, it's just you just record it and then upload it to YouTube. That's all.
Okay, on KROQ.
Yeah.
Yes, Sam.
KROQ.com or KevinAmin.com, and you can get all the information. But you should definitely apply for this. Do you think there are other people who are funnier than you?
No.
Okay. You did close the show 1 year.
Okay.
Okay, that wasn't all right.
A lot of question marks here.
Yeah, a lot of question marks.
All right, so for everybody else, go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com. If you would like to be the opening act for KROQ's April Foolishness 2015 and open for all those great bands on the 4th of April at the Shrine, we want you to go there. Sam, you want to take us out with a joke today?
Absolutely.
All right. Go ahead.
April Foolishness Day, we used to play at back home, Armenian culture. So this is how it goes. So when you are talking with your boss face to face, you say, "Watch out! There's a spider about to land on your head."
Oh. Okay. Wait, was that was the joke?
Yeah. It's the April Foolishness Day.
I know it seems impossible, but beat that, people. Try and be funnier than that.
If you have a freaky female friend and you are talking in a room also, you say, "Watch out, there's a mouse just crawled out of the hole."
I don't know what's happening.
That was a sequel to the first joke, I think.
The spider and then the mouse.
Oh, yes. These are the type of pranks you would do on April Fool's Day.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We were asking for a joke, but all right.
And then
you can go that direction.
Also, people at home, if you are listening to me at home, ring the bell at the doorbell, and everybody will wake up, come to the door to open up, and you say, "I fooled you."
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that was a choice.
So those were
and then
not jokes.
Driving at the,
all right,
at the freeway,
right,
if you are listening to me, put your emergency lights on and honk.
Good. Okay. All right. Good chat, Sam.
Sam, We'll look for your video at krock.com. I hope you win.
No, you don't.
No. I don't think so. It's very hard for me to do.
Okay. All right. That's a great way to go out.
And I will do a great job.
No, what? You're not going to put up a video and you want us to invite you on the stage anyway?
Absolutely, yes.
Absolutely not.
Oh, my God.
Oh, is it too late for the doctors to stop the heart? Sam. All right, KevinandBee.com, put up your video.
So you're telling me all the years we've been calling you Charlton Copley, we've been saying your name wrong. That's what you're telling me?
We have said Copley
look.
200 times.
Look, I just saw how you guys were with the last guest, so yes. Kind of like you can pronounce my name however you want. As long as you don't say anything like that about me when I leave the studio,
no,
you pronounce it however you want.
He's earned a special place in our hearts,
yeah.
That guy.
He has. So it's Copley. We'll say Charlto Copley from now on if that's what you prefer. Well, welcome back, sir.
I'm not fussy.
He is the star of America's number one film called Chappie, and of course he's on a new series called Powers that we're going to talk all about as well. Charlton Copley joins us in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Awesome.
Here he is. That
Thanks
was Kevin applause
me, yes.
for such a big star. So how you been, man? We haven't seen you in a bit. How you been?
Yeah, working hard, which is good. Always good mm-hmm. when you're an actor. I got to I did a movie in Russia for 4 months. It was meant to take 25 days and ended up taking like 110 days.
What?
Why?
That was pretty
what
crazy. Yeah.
Was it weather?
It was just no. It was just an epic thing that we were trying to do. It's a first person shooter style. Inspired by first-person shooter video games. It's all shot on GoPros. It's a crazy action movie called Hardcore, and it's not that kind of hardcore, you know, just hardcore action. And just crazy, the craziest movie I've ever made.
So you were in Russia for 4 months?
Yes, I went and came back and went a total of 4 months, and I went over three visits.
I would be, you know, I've looked around the globe at places that I want to visit, and Russia has certainly been in consideration, but I think I'm still a little bit afraid of what can go wrong in Russia. I'm worried about going over there as an American. Do you have any concerns as a South African going to that country?
Well, you know, South Africans are, I don't know, what are we now, kind of reasonably neutral. I didn't at the time. I mean, to be honest, things have actually changed and gotten a little bit more intense in the last, you know, couple months. Most of this we did when was it? Yeah, just after I saw you guys sort of on and off, so beginning of last year.
Uh-huh.
The last time we had you was for Elysium?
Yes.
Probably Elysium.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, the short answer was I didn't feel concerned about it.
But you didn't wear your Pussy Riot t-shirt, I'll bet you that.
I didn't, you know, I didn't do anything that I wasn't supposed to. There was a riot going on. Well, it was not a riot. There was like some protest and the military arrived and the scale of it. I've just never seen anything like it. Like even growing up in South Africa, it was like this little protest started and they just, it descended, like the army descended on Moscow. I was looking out of my window and I thought I would just go and maybe film a little bit. I was like, I wonder what will happen if I just... And the thing was, you couldn't even get near where the people were protesting.
Okay,
they start shutting down city blocks, several blocks away from where the little protest is happening, so people can't even reach the little protest, if that makes sense.
Sense they're not isolated. Huge on the First Amendment there in Russia.
Do they have one?
It sense
seems
that,
like.
Do you?
I do. I sense that.
We have something like that in South Africa, and we're not too serious about it either, so it's a little depressing.
What about all the payoffs and the graft and the corruption? Did you run into any problems with that, with like getting the movie made where people tried to stop you unless you coughed up some dough?
You know, there might have been one or two things. I was pretty... You know, shooting in Moscow with the police and stuff, I know it was a little tricky for the production, but I literally can't say. There's nothing, and if I knew of something, I wouldn't say.
Okay, all right.
Because I might have to go back. So I would just lie with a straight face, but I there's nothing that I can think of to lie about.
Gotcha. This is interesting to me, Charlton, because as we mentioned, you got the number one movie in America right now with Chappie. Congratulations. You've got several other films on deck ready to come out. You thought at some point in your life that you were never going to be an actor, though, right?
Yeah. I'd sort of decided to be behind the camera from when I was about 20. And
then someone said you're too handsome?
Yeah, it just is. You know,
what a waste. That,
yeah. Extremely good looking. Just get it on the camera. No, I was meant to produce District 9, and Neil had wanted to show Peter Jackson what a South African sort of Afrikaans bureaucrat in the old apartheid government was like sort of your stereotypical guy who worked at the post office, and said, you know, Shaw, well, you do accents and stuff. You shoot something. Let's just shoot something with you, and you show Pete. And I improvised it. And then from that, the way that whole thing went down, Neil decided, look, I want the whole movie to be improvised. And, you be the guy.
So you kind of fell into acting, really.
I did, although I worked very hard at wanting to be an actor as a kid from like 9 to sort of 19 years old. I must have made 200 little shorts. Like, if it was now, I would have had a YouTube channel with like 300.
Yeah. But that's still so remarkable. I mean, it's just so interesting how that one meeting with Neil kind of just changed the trajectory of your whole life. That's fascinating.
Yeah, it was working on a short film actually called Alive in Joburg that we made in 2005, and that was the sort of seed of what became District 9. The same with Chappie actually was based on a short film that Neil had done a long time ago called Tetraval, which just featured an amazing robot in a very third world kind of township environment in South Africa. And it's been a crazy ride. And then like A-Team was my favorite show as a kid, and I ended up playing Murdoch. Starring opposite Angelina Jolie was completely ridiculous.
Yeah. You were the evil king in Maleficent, right?
Yeah, that I couldn't understand. That even my friends at school were like, come on, you're not playing Angelina's love interest. I was like, yeah, I know, that's bizarre.
I was wondering about that, too. When you're, when you're living in South Africa, kind of not in show business or behind the scenes in show business, it's got to be – it's impossible to imagine I'm going to be on a big screen opposite Angelina Jolie. Like, that's even beyond your wildest dreams, right?
Yeah, although as a kid, my real focus was I didn't really think about acting opposite people, but I knew I wanted to make Hollywood-style movies. I think that's like a lot of people that come to this town from all over the world. I think that's the beauty of Hollywood, and it's the beauty of America. You know, it's a place and a country that really takes people who want to achieve and want to do exceptional things, and you feel like you can find a home here, and that's certainly how I feel.
USA!
Right?
USA!
What the America? And I'll stop there. Please do.
Yes, please do.
Please do.
Charlton Copley is our guest here at the Kevin Beach. We're going to take a break in a second, but since we're on the topic, tell us something we don't know about Angelina Jolie, having worked with her.
Well, did you know she's a huge prankster? Is that sort of known in the industry?
No,
not really, no.
No, she is a phenomenal prankster.
Like, is that why she adopts all those kids? Is it some big joke?
Don't think
is it a prank she's playing on her husband?
Actually.
Hey, Brad, check this out.
No,
I brought another one home.
Continue. At your peril. She. I'm not kidding you, man. I've been pranking since I was a kid, and I had the most intense prank battles with her that I've ever had in my life.
Really?
I tipped my hat off to her. Yeah, it was crazy by the end. Like, the gloves just came off, man. But it was awesome in the best possible way. I love her.
What did she do to you that impressed you so much? What was the
prank? Dude, it's literally so bad that I actually can't talk about it on radio. And it's like, I'd probably get in trouble with Disney if I actually told something. But that's what I love. It's like, it just became, you know, there was basic stuff. The things you can talk about, the tame things would be like, you know, I'd do a prank to her on set where I'd like... We're in the middle of a take. I'd like dive behind a bush and come out as if I was like trying to attack, you know, trying to defend her. When we're having our little love scene, when we're lying by the lake and we're like looking at some, I hear a noise and I run and I go and I stab something and it turns out to be her precious raven. These are little things, you know. And so all the crew have a good laugh or whatever. We wrap at 9 o'clock that night. I come into set 5 a.m. the next morning. I open my trailer. There's like three massive, huge, aggressive ravens in my trailer. So I can't get in. Just going, like, it was horrendous. I filmed this. And just like excreting on my couch, you know, I actually have this on video. That's the tame type of stuff. Like
we were making kind of stuff.
Yeah. We were making videos and about each other. No, it was crazy.
Did you have to give? Did you have to go? You win. I'm tapping.
Actually, dude, my proudest moment of my behind the scenes career so far is that she actually eventually, because I just didn't give up, she kind of tapped.
Nice.
She did. But I still feel like one day,
yes,
she's gonna strike back. Like she's given up, but I feel like she hasn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, so you're gonna go out this morning and your car is gonna be held up by a crane
above
the building.
It could be on fire, dude. She just burned the whole thing. I'm not even kidding.
All right, Charlton Copley is here at the Kevin DeBeach Show. He, of course, is the star of Chappie. He's a robot, don't you know? He also is in an outstanding new series on Sony PlayStation Plus service that we've talked about before called Powers, and we want to get into that when we return with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Actor Charlto Copley in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk about his new show, Powers, in a minute. Let's wrap up on Chappie, though, because we haven't had a chance to ask you too much about it. How do you prepare to be a robot? I mean, that's an unusual challenge for an actor, right?
Yeah, I mean, in this case, we didn't focus too much on the robot element. So there's nothing I do with him that's like, oh, you have to move like a robot or anything like that. The most challenging part of this guy was actually there's a point where Chappie gets influenced by sort of a stepfather, if you will, who's a gangster, and he has to do all these gangster movements.
Right.
And on set, I was wearing this very skin-tight, almost ballet leotard type thing, and I thought, well, this is the complete opposite of gangster clothing. Right. And clothing's a big deal as an actor. I'm like, how am I going to get all gangster with this tight-fitting, you know, leotard? And so I came up with a system. I wore a little pair of shorts. They still had to be tight-fitting, but I had a belt on the shorts.
Okay.
And whenever you see Chappie going gangster, I basically would ride my shorts down.
Right.
Like, you know how that gangsters love this, like, riding down.
Yeah, I got to see some underwear, right.
Sure.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I would do. And I would have my bling around my neck and on my rings, and the rest of me is like in leotard. But that's all I needed to get the walk and to get all the moves, because that whole gangster thing comes from your groin, as it turns out.
Sure.
That's so funny.
Now, was it difficult to, because when Chappie gets consciousness, he's sort of born as a child, as a baby.
Yes.
Is it difficult to start out like that? Like, you don't know any words or anything.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic as an actor, because you just start in the rawest sort of form of consciousness as you can, and you build the character on top of that. You build his personality based on his reactions to people.
He doesn't know what things are called.
No.
He doesn't understand words.
No, and mannerisms and things. And we sort of, I mean, I knew a lot of things I wanted to have him doing. And then so I found ways of building that into, I'd ask the other actors, like, you know, just wipe your nose. I've got this thing where, one, you know, where he keeps wiping his nose.
Right.
It doesn't really exist, but in that
doesn't
sort of gangster, druggy kind of thing. He sees a guy, so it's just funny. So he kind of, throughout the thing later on, you see him kind of wiping his fake nose because it's a behavior that he saw from somebody. You know, we had a lot of fun with it.
Did you have to test that out from being a child on up with other people, or was it a day-by-day thing?
Before we started shooting, I actually developed, I did a whole bunch of improvised scenes of him at different age groups with a friend of mine, and so we just knew when we went in kind of what his behavior would be like,
right,
at different key ages.
Yeah. You've been in the business a while now, but have you been in the business so long you're not starstruck by Hugh Jackman and Sigourney Weaver?
No, I have to say, I mean, Sigourney was in Aliens, which that trilogy, which is the first sci-fi stuff that I ever watched, and it really did sort of blow my mind. I walked on set, the actual first day on set, and she was talking over the PA system. I was just like, Ripley's in our movie, and Neil was looking at me, and he's like, I know. And Jackman is just, he's sort of, I suppose he's like the textbook of movie star. You know, if you went to go like, what is a movie star in all the best possible ways? It's him, you know. Even with the mullet, all the women were like, "Oh, he's so wonderful!
Yeah.
Oh, he's so wonderful! Look, and he's such a loving family man. He's even more wonderful, you know."
No, he was really amazing. It's just
most of us could not get past if we were wearing that mullet, nobody would ever look at us again. You know what I mean?
Just, but yeah, he was just both of them. I mean, I think it's a lot of what I'm experiencing with working with a lot of these top people. They're in that position for a reason, you know. They're really good with people.
Well, that's
so
really good to hear.
Yeah, I really admired both of these two for how they've sort of got to keep their feet on the ground with their family lives. You know, that is something that I do see, am finding very hard as I'm in the business, and kind of it batters you around and you're always moving around. And I think the thing that I respected with Sigourney and Hugh so much, and kind of talking to them, you know, when the cameras weren't rolling, about how do you do it? Like, how do you just stay so normal in this crazy, crazy business?
It does seem like it would feel like the opposite pressure is being put on you to not be normal, and yet they're still grounded somehow.
Yeah, there's a friend of mine once said, you know, he put it so perfectly. He's like, I think I realize that a lot of people in show business, you know, the top people, a lot of them find a way to stay lost, you know, and it sort of really hit me at that point, because I said to him, you know, I was like, geez, I really, at one point I was struggling. I was like, I'm feeling just lost, like you lose your bearings, you're always being somebody else. And it was like, yeah, a lot of them you know, I think that's your choice. You either find a way to stay grounded or find a way to stay lost.
Interesting. Yeah. Too deep for this show, but interesting.
Definitely. There's a spider on your face. Careful about your head.
Nice
no,
callback.
No, there's actually a spider on your face.
That would be funny.
We had your friend Eddie Izzard in a few weeks ago. Talking about powers. I had not seen it at that point. Now I had. This is, again, you know, we're just getting used to the Netflix and the Amazon Prime world. Now we've got shows on Sony's PlayStation Plus that we must watch because they're that good. Tell me about you getting into powers.
Well, it's my first experience of television. I was interested in the concept because it, I think, has something a little bit more to say than your average kind of cop show or superhero genre show. There's a layer of this world of powers where there's an analogy, really, that all the superheroes or people with superpowers in this world are pretty much like the pop culture icons in our society today. So instead of having, you know, a music star up endorsing a cola brand, you have like Retro Girl, who's like the sort of big superhero. And it's the cool clubs or the clubs where all the powers kids go, you know, and everybody wants to have powers and everyone's hoping that they can one day be powerful. And it's very much kind of a
they're your Kardashians.
Commentary. Yeah, well, it's kind of a social. It's well, there are some like that, but they're not all like that.
But then your character goes the other direction, and you lost your powers. Yes, you used to be able to.
My character was he's kind of like a faded rock star in the sense that he was one of the big, almost like Superman kind of powers, and lost his. And when he was a hero, but he was also a rock star, and he kind of went off the rails with drugs and groupies, and you know, could do whatever he wanted. And he's now lost his powers. He's on the police force. They kind of have him as a token face because, and also he does understand the powers guys. He's got connections in that community. He wants those powers back, you know, and yeah, it's a very interesting setup for a character.
Boy, it sure is. And I wasn't familiar until Eddie came in and told us about it. I wasn't familiar with the, you know, the comic book that this is based on, a graphic novel that this is based on. But it's been around for a while. It's got a huge fan base already. A lot of people have been looking forward to this, right?
Yeah, they took 15 years, I think, to finally realize this the show. It went through different, you know, ideas. There was going to be a movie at one point. So, yes, I think a lot of people are excited.
So to watch the show, you go to PlayStation.com/powers?
Yeah, you can
right?
watch it. You can watch it on your PlayStation, or you can actually just watch it at on the PlayStation Store on any computer. Yeah,
and that's just for the first episode.
Yeah, though, the right? first episode yeah. is for free. Yeah,
I was so impressed, and maybe I shouldn't be these days because I mean, making television quote television is so democratic now. But I mean, this looks as good as anything on any network or in any movie. I mean, some of these special effects are movie worthy. This is not an inexpensive project they've got you in.
No, it was part of the launch of the Sony PlayStation content platform. So, yeah, they took it very seriously. You know, they were like, well, we want something that's going to be, you know, unique and strong and special for the platform.
How many episodes are there in the season?
There's 10.
10.
Yeah.
And you can get 3 now if you're PlayStation Plus.
That's correct.
Or tomorrow? Is it tomorrow? Or
it's tonight at midnight. Tonight at midnight. Comes out. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Everyone can see the first episode for free, and then
that's correct.
And then if you sign up, you can get the other ones.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, it is. It's a terrific show, Charles. So you should be very, very proud of it.
Yeah,
and,
thanks a lot.
And you know, like you said, it's the first time you've done TV, so obviously this spoke to you, right?
Yeah, it was like I say, just the idea to also be with a character for a more extended period of time was interesting. And this guy is very sort of layered, you know. My guy has a lot going on, a lot of demons that are kind of chasing him. He wants to get the powers back, but then he's sort of wondering about his behavior. It has this idea of power corrupting and how difficult and how alluring it is once you become powerful to kind of behave in certain ways. I thought it was a lot of interesting things and very much very similar analogies and metaphors to the show business industry. Very much so. The big superheroes have got agents, for example, and managers. It's like, well, you can fly, so but that doesn't mean. You know, I think that was what I'm a big fan of sort of superhero stuff, and to have a world where you know, the big superheroes have agents and they're trying to – how do you make money as if you say –
Yes, if you can levitate, how do you make money?
Yeah, how do you
right?
actually make money? I mean, and some people have just the ability to levitate, and that's just kind of annoying, and the cops have to deal with it. So you can levitate 3 feet off the ground. That's not useful.
Yeah.
You know, somebody else can breathe a little bit of fire just like this far out of his mouth. It's like, what do you do with that? You know?
All right. Well, I'm sorry that we're out of time. By the way, too much of Eddie's ass in the show, if I could just throw that out there.
Really?
He sure is naked. He sure is naked in
the
show.
That was, yeah, he sort of set the bar where it's like the showrunner came to me and he's like, you know, Schulte, Eddie's going to go naked.
what do you got?
I talk to you about your love scene. You know, would you be – I was like, dude, no, come on, man. It's not Game of Thrones yet. Like, it's empty. If we'd have a big Game of Thrones winning season, talk to me about being naked in the second one. My clothes are on.
All right. Chappie is in theaters everywhere today. It's America's number one film. Congratulations on that. And don't miss Powers. You can see it on the Sony PlayStation website right now. The first episode is free. Sony PlayStation Plus can see the first three and then new episodes every week after that. So great to see you again, Charlotte. Man, thanks really for coming back in. We appreciate it.
Guys, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure. I'm going to be listening out to what you say about me as I drive home. So
we like you. Don't worry.
Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
Just announced this morning, you can be the opening act for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015. Get the details at KROQ.com. We are looking for you if you are funny. Hey, Ralph Garman, welcome to Monday.
Don't undersell this. Again, please, I beseech you. I because Kevin Smith and I work out of the Improv on Melrose when we do our Hollywood Babylon show,
which is this Friday, by the way, 10 p.m. if you want to go, improv.com.
Well played.
Thank you. I get a chance to meet and hang out with a lot of comedians, many of them struggling, who just hang out at the bar there at the Improv. It's a big sort of watering hole for aspiring comics.
For comics that aren't on the stage at all that
night?
Yeah,
they just come to hang out at the club. Oh. I mean, that's where comics congregate, because you know, they're familiar with it, and sometimes they'll sneak in and they can watch somebody work out and stuff and learn from hanging out with other comics. So I get a chance to cocktail with a ton of them. And there's a lot of funny people out there with just no way
to break through
the noise of so many comedians being around. I mean, as you know, there's just a ton of them. How many requests do we get every week here? Some comedian wants to come on the show to promote some date or some special or things like that. So for a good comic to have an opportunity to get that kind of exposure at that high-profile a comedy show would be an enormous opportunity for somebody.
Yeah, you gain a lot of new fans in a hurry, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, again, if you're not a comedian yourself, but maybe you know one, I would definitely recommend them to go to krock.com and get all the details about how they can send in their video for consideration to be the opening act for April Foolishness. It's an outstanding.
Although you got to get past the Armenian comedian.
You do. His performance today was pretty on point.
That spider on your head, man, was some of the that chunk, his spider chunk, I just thought was so brilliantly not only conceptualized but then executed.
Oh, I can't believe he burned it on the radio for free when he should have saved that one for a paid customer.
He should have saved it for his Showtime special. That's what I'm concerned about. I know he's going to be filming that comedy special coming up. I hope he didn't use some of his best material.
He's the best. He's very happy with how that went. That's why I love him.
Yeah.
He killed it.
He's pretty spectacular.
He knows he killed it.
It's Monday morning. We always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Chappie. He was just here.
He was here.
Nice man he is, by the way. He said he was going to be listening in case we talked the best about him, but he is a terrific guy.
Smelled great.
Okay, smelled great.
I don't have a chance to rub my nose up against him, but
I'll take your word for it. When he walked through. Yeah, well. It's delightful.
Hallie has some dog-like tendencies when guests come in.
Have you seen my nose?
It's a lot of smelling.
It's
a lot of wafts. my exposure goes back to him at Comic-Con a year before District 9 came out. They brought Charlton and Neil and the producer and who was the big Gilla? Who was the producer for that first film? Was it Guillermo del Toro?
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
It was a big player.
Don't recall
who it was. Anyway, they brought them out to Comic-Con to screen a little of the footage and to talk to the people. And I just remember seeing Neil and Charlton with these giant wide eyes looking at Comic-Con. I mean, that's an impressive scene if you're, you know, a showbiz vet.
Yep.
But these guys were literally flown from Johannesburg and then just brought in for this event, and they were just starry-eyed. And now to see Charlton being such a big movie star and TV star, it's so
great. It was Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson.
All right.
Thank you. That's it. Yes. Chappie, number one at the box office, $13.3 million. Focus was number 10.
the second exotic Marigold Hotel and debuted at $8.6 million, made it number three. Kingsman, then the SpongeBob movie, round out the top five. 50 Shades of Grey was six. McFarlane USA, The Lazarus Effect, The Duff, and still I'm shocked and dismayed to see that Unfinished Business came in at number 10 this weekend. In its debut, the new Vince Vaughn film only made $4.8 million this weekend. And I don't know what you're doing, America, but it's not right, whatever it is. Get your act together, or I'm going to start knocking on doors. And you don't want that. You don't want me coming to your house just randomly asking you about your movie-going experiences.
I want that.
You want that?
Yeah, I do.
All right, coming to your house first. John Stamos seems like a good guy, doesn't he? Sure.
Absolutely.
He was in San Francisco this weekend, hanging out around the exterior of the San Francisco house that they used for the Full House opening.
Okay, why?
Why? I think he was doing it just for fun.
Okay, because otherwise he's doing it to meet chicks that want to sleep with him.
No, that's not true. He was hanging out. He Instagrammed a shot of himself in front of the Victorian house they used for the exteriors of the Full House house. And he thought it was funny because a ton of people were there taking pictures of the house, and no one really noticed him that he was there at all.
Really? That's awesome.
He said they're all focused on the house, not Uncle Jesse. So apparently he didn't get as much attention as you would think. But it's like Rocky hanging out at the Rocky statue. Yeah. You know, if you see John Stamos at the Full House house, that'd be pretty cool.
That's funny. All those people that took pictures of just the house and could have had the picture
right,
with him.
They didn't know he was standing next to him. Did you guys catch any of Thor on Saturday Night Live this weekend?
Did not.
I saw the first half hour.
Pretty good ratings. Pretty good ratings. Apparently, they had a four share, which is pretty strong, up from last week's show, hosted by 50 Shades of Grey star Dakota Johnson. I don't know why. She's known for her hilarity. And Tom Hanks.
Right?
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 Tom Hanks.
I think we're with you.
That's what I'm saying.
Have you seen the new Carly Rae Jepsen video for her new single, I Really Like You?
I really, 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 really like you?
Yes. It's Tom Hanks.
It's Tom Hanks.
It's the video of him lip-syncing the song, working his way through New York. It's like high-fiving people and saying hi to people and stuff.
The whole song.
The whole song is Tom Hanks.
It's very Tom Hanks.
It's awesome.
It could be more Tom Hanks.
Tiny little bit of Justin Bieber at the end.
Yeah.
Kind of spoils it a little bit.
Ruins it for everyone. But I thought it was awesome. I thought it was...
I did, too.
He's just the best. I could watch him do that. I want to see him lip-sync every song. I want to see a series of videos of Tom Hanks just lip-syncing and walking around New York in a nice-looking overcoat.
Now, you're show business, Ralph Garman.
Yes, I am show business, is Ralph Garman.
How does young Canadian pop sensation Carly Rae Jepsen get multiple Academy Award winner Tom Hanks to be in her video?
I'm glad you asked, Bean. Interesting story. Tom is friends with Carly's manager, Scooter Braun, who also manages Justin Bieber, which is why Justin is also in the video. And apparently Tom and Scooter were at the same show busy party. And Scooter said, hey, do you want to do this video? We're shooting it in New York. He's living there in New York now because his wife is doing a play on Broadway. So Tom Hanks is there in New York for supporting his wife. She's working at nights doing the play. He's hanging out. He said, yeah, sure, I'll do your video. So they shot it in one day in New York.
How about that?
And he did it just because he's friends with this guy for nothing.
And this isn't a Tom Hanks cameo. I mean, this is the whole video of him in like 20 different locations.
Yes.
Lip syncing.
Dancers, and he's high-fiving people, and there's a big dance number at the end, and... Tom's just the man.
I feel like that song is going to be stuck in our heads forever, too, by the way.
It's pretty darn catchy.
It's pretty darn catchy.
She knows how to put those earwigs in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Brittany Snow is 29 years old today. Chad Gilbert, guitarist for Newfound Glory, is 34. Speaking of bands, Shannon Leto of 30 Seconds to Mars. He's their drummer. He's 45. Emmanuel Lewis is 44. Linda Fiorentino is 55 years old today. And inexplicably, we found someone this morning who knows who Clint Dempsey is.
That's ridiculous.
Clint Dempsey. You know where we had to go to find him, Kevin? To another country. That's where we had to go to find someone who knew who Clint Dempsey was.
Right outside our building, Ralph.
Yeah.
Right outside our building.
From 9,000 miles away.
Well, I mean...
Outside our building via a transcontinental airline.
He was, I mean, British, if that's what you're saying.
Sir, you look reputable. For $20, can you tell me who Clint Dempsey is?
He's a soccer player.
Boom! $20 is yours. Are you a soccer fan?
Yes, I'm English, so of course.
Beautiful! I knew you looked like the right guy. Thank you so much.
I knew you looked like the right guy.
Beautiful! I knew you were the guy I wanted to give $20 to.
Of Ralph's money?
Not my money. Freaking beer mug. Now that he's by the way, now that he's going to get his ankles broken by his bookie.
Yeah.
He's like hitting everybody up. Didn't I lend you $20 one time for one thing? He hits me with that this morning.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's...
I fronted you, I think, for some lottery tickets last year. I was like, all right, if you say so.
His
the money.
Days are numbered.
Yeah, he's going under.
He's counting pennies in the other room. That can't be good, right? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show his beat.
Ralph, are you pre-sad that The Bachelor is going to be over for another season after tonight?
No, because after tonight, then we get After the Final Rose next week. So it's not over yet.
Does it ever end?
So don't try to pee on my parade, Bean. I won't have it.
Does it ever end?
Too soon. I'll tell you that much.
Tuesday mornings at this time on the Kevin and Bean Show every week, we recap the previous night's Bachelor. But we do have something special for you, a little Bachelor bonus for you today, because the host of the show himself on ABC is Chris Harrison. He joins us on the show right now. Hey, Mr. Harrison, how are you, sir?
Good morning, guys. We have to hurry. The live broadcast actually starts in 30 minutes.
Yeah, I know. You have the pre-red carpet brunch, I think, the show on ABC, don't you?
It's a 14-hour live event.
Yes. It's Super Bowl for estrogen is really what it is.
That's exactly right.
Yes. So, Chris, these weeks leading up to the reveal tonight, because the people involved already know who is picked, right?
That is correct, yeah.
Okay, so is this? Have you like been sweating, you and the whole team, just been sweating it out that it doesn't get revealed somehow before we see it on TV tonight?
Yeah, I mean, we do our best. Obviously, you know, there are, you know, spoilers and leaks out there, but there's a lot of misinformation out there as well. So I think for the most part, people don't know. But it's also one of those things where you have to see how it plays out. And what happens?
Yeah, I mean, part of the fascination, I think, is not just who he picks, but how he picks her and what happens to the loser. Not that anyone's a loser on this show.
Oh, please.
The woman who doesn't get chosen.
Are we acting? Are we still all pretending that someone's going to move to Iowa with him?
Yes.
We are. Okay.
Yeah. Chris would like you to believe that, please.
We need to suspend that belief. Okay. We have to continue this charade.
Okay. All right.
Chris, we haven't had a chance to talk much during this season, but I have to ask you, in all honesty, craziest batch of women ever on The Bachelor this year?
Definitely lightning in a bottle with this group.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll ever be able to recreate this, because it really was such a dynamic group. I mean, you start with the virgin spectrum. We didn't
right.
have one. We had two.
Sure.
Very differing virgins. We had the widowers, not one but two, and very differing as well.
Right, because one murdered her husband. You guys didn't cover that, really.
You need to say allegedly.
Yeah, okay.
get the lawyers on the phone.
I love my story. I have a great story. What the F?
And then you had a girl, you know, picking onions that were really pomegranates. It was a wild group.
Yeah, I took umbrage, Chris. You know, I think you're the best host on television. I really do. But I took umbrage by the fact that you invited that obviously patently insane woman back to do Bachelor in Paradise.
Ralph, I love her.
I
could start a 24-hour network and just do it with her.
she's crazy, right, Chris?
She needs
a facility. She doesn't need a TV show. She needs a home.
I can't confirm or deny. I just love doing television with her. The conversation, you know, people have asked me, is she in on the joke? And the thing is, she is, right up until the time she's not.
And she never knows where that line is, or you don't?
Nobody knows.
Yeah.
That's the beautiful thing. We just weave in and out of these conversations, and I am fascinated, and I just can't get enough.
Yeah, it's because she brought you an onion. That's why you
that's
love her.
True.
She brought me. There you go. She brought me a damn onion on national television.
This is the voice of our friend Chris Harrison here on the Kevin Bean Show. Of course, we're talking about the Bachelor finale, which is going to be tonight at 8 o'clock on ABC. We had such a great conversation the morning after Britt revealed that she never showers or rarely showers, Chris. What was it like being up close and personal with him throughout the season? Could you tell?
Britt was, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. She didn't shower much.
Right.
I tried to not get near her and find out if that was an issue. I did talk to Chris very candidly off camera one time, and I said, you know, does she smell? He says no.
Hmm.
He says, you know, it wasn't an issue. But, you know, hygiene, kind of important.
But, yeah. But you have to understand, Chris, that Souls has spent a lot of his time around cattle on the farm.
Yeah.
That's true.
His level of smell, what smells and what doesn't, may be very different than ours.
Or maybe he just enjoys that.
That's true.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the age-old question for men. How hot does a girl have to be before the smell just doesn't matter?
That's a great point, Chris.
That's the age-old question. You're right.
I'm not aware that was the age-old question.
That is the age-old question.
It's right in the book. It's in the old book.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Harrison, and that is, Juan Pablo seemed to be very divisive among the fans.
For sure.
I don't feel that with Chris. I think people really genuinely like this guy. Is that the sense you're getting too?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he, you know, when we picked the guy, it was such an easy choice just because of who he is, what he stands for. And that we've been kind of wanting to do this season for a long time, just a hoo-ah America, a guy from the heartland, a farmer. He stands for, you know, what this country was built on, all that stuff. And that's why we kept it in America for the most part. You know, we went to Bali at the end, but we really went to these small pockets in America, Deadwood, South Dakota, Santa Fe, and Iowa. Just, we really kind of wanted to do a rally around America type of show. And so people love this guy. I mean, he's very endearing. He's a gentleman. He kind of, again, he stands for, you know, what you think America is. So
white people. dumb white people.
Thank you for summing it up.
Okay. We thought you were just cutting back on the travel budget this year, Chris. That's why we thought you were going to South Dakota.
Ralph said it was low rent. Is that true?
Well, no, that's the funny thing, is that it's actually more expensive for us to travel in America. People have said, you know, the budget was small, but no, it's actually more expensive when we stay in America.
That is a lie, sir.
We get much better deals when we go overseas. You know, countries really want this show to come because it's such a big advertisement for them. But it's hard for us to travel in the U.S. We've wanted to do it for a while, but it's very expensive.
And you can lean on child labor overseas. You can't really do that here in the States.
Exactly. You know how hard it is to get an 8-year-old to work in Iowa?
Chris, my final question, and I know Ralph has a million more before we let you go here on a very busy day for you, is do you believe that Whitney and Becca are both in love with Chris, and whoever doesn't get picked is going to be devastated?
No, I don't believe they are both in love.
It's one of them.
You'll see tonight that Becca has a tough time, and this is one of those interesting – one of the reasons I love the show. I think it's a mirror image of how all of our relationships go and how hard we make this on ourselves. And Chris really is falling for both of them. That's the main issue. And he really has this chemistry and this thing for Becca. But Becca's just not able to give him what he needs. And you'll see this with his family tonight, and you'll see this in his struggle tonight, that – she's just not quite where Whitney is. And so it's the easy road and the thing that seems so obvious versus the girl that you want. And,
which hour does that happen?
Guys aren't smart animals. You know, we want to make things difficult, and you want the road less traveled and you want the chase.
Which hour does that happen in? 1, 2, or 3 tonight?
Yes.
Okay. Ralph, what do you need to see tonight to walk away happy?
Well, look, my favorites have dropped by the wayside already, so I really don't have a horse in this race. But I just want Chris to be happy and find a woman.
Chris Harrison or Chris the Bachelor?
Not Chris Harrison. No. Chris Soules, the Prince Farming. Right. I just want him to pick a nice girl because he seems like a sort of a not bright, just nice enough fella. And I want him just to find an equally sort of dumb white person to just sit, just to live with on the farm and just have a nice life and raise just average intelligence to kids. That's all I ask for.
you just made it sound so beautiful.
That's my dream for all of America.
We should put that on a Hallmark card.
Hey, speaking of writing, real quick, Chris, your book.
Yeah, this is kind of an extension of what I already do on the show. I have written a romance novel, insert laughter here. it's called The Perfect Letter. It comes out May 19th, and it's something I've been working on for a couple of years with the folks at HarperCollins, and it's really just what we do on the show. It's escapism. It's a great read and easy for all the ladies out there that love the show.
Lots of filthy sex in it?
There's some good mommy porn in there, for sure.
Good man. That's my boy.
It doesn't come out until middle of May, right?
Yeah, May 19th, yeah. But we revealed it on the show. We just revealed the cover and announced that it's coming out. And, you know, I'm about to start production on The Bachelorette pretty soon, and so I'll be leaving planet Earth again for a while. And so we wanted to get the reveal out there, and then, you know, we'll definitely push it as we get closer to the release date.
Now, guys haven't announced The Bachelorette yet, right, Chris?
We have not. Okay. It may happen tonight.
Don't you usually do it after the final rose?
Yep, exactly. So that'll be...
Which hour?
Allie, that's hour number 3.
Thank you.
If you're keeping track.
All right, good. Well, Chris, if you have time when it gets close to when the book comes out, we'd love to have you come in so we can spend a little more time with you. We know how busy you are. But tonight is the night, you guys. 3 big hours on ABC Primetime starting at 8 o'clock for The Bachelor season finale. The great Chris Harrison, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the abuse.
Time for an intervention, I think, with our man, Beer Mug. A bunch of people from K-Rock. We're up storming Bear Mountain yesterday, and thanks to the Orwells and thanks to the Offspring. And who else was up there, Dave, providing entertainment for the snowboarding?
DJ Jeremiah Red.
That's right. Yeah, it was a great night on the mountain. Everybody had a fantastic time. So Chip was doing some snowboarding, and she came in this morning, and she said, Bean, I got to tell you, Muggs was full on Muggs yesterday. And I said, what do you mean, Chip? What does she mean, Dave?
Oh, boy, he was muggerific.
We just put up a video that's 60 seconds long, and wow, dude, you are a disaster.
Yeah, it's me with a GoPro, and I decided to put this piece together of my entire day in 60 seconds. And let's just say that my day started probably around 10 o'clock, and I went from 0 to 60 in like 1.2 seconds.
Tell us about that, Dave, before we play a little clip of the video.
Well, what do you want to start with? Because let's start with meeting Muggs, and we're all putting on sunscreen, and I see his face, and I'm like, what do you have on your face? And he proceeds to say, I have chapstick on my face.
On your whole face?
Yeah, I put it on my nose. And
your nose is...
And as you can see, it...
Yeah, it didn't work. What happened was...
What do you mean it didn't work?
Here's what happened.
Like it, normally it should.
Here's my process behind it.
Please.
I didn't have any sunscreen with me.
Yeah, no one else has it.
We had plenty.
I know. I could have asked.
Everyone on the mountain does, I'm sure.
In my car, I had a single tube of chapstick, and it says SPF 15 on it.
Right.
So that's, I'm like, oh, you
so
know.
So you rubbed that all over your face?
Yeah, I was like, this has SPF 15 in it. It should work.
For those listening, his nose is pulsating right now.
Yeah, it's
Rudolph.
Second degree burn on my cheek and my nose. So that doesn't work.
No, it did the opposite.
But I guess that SPF 15 is not good in chapstick.
Or for your lips, it's good, not for your
skin
nose.
And,
by the way, in Muggs' defense...
No.
In Muggs' defense...
Thank you, Bane. Thank you.
That is logical. If he looks at a product and it says he has SPF 15 in it, I can see why he thought it would work.
But you know what else is logical? Just saying, hey, guys, anyone on the mountain, do you have sunblock?
Because they offered it to him, and he said, no, I already put on chapstick.
Yeah.
So he didn't even look for it.
All right, so that's one. And then we proceed to get on the ski lift when...
It's a fast ski lift, mind you. It's one of those rapid ones.
Not so much from you.
And normally people fall off getting off the ski lift.
Right.
No. Beer Mug getting on the ski lift.
While it's going up, tumbles off the ski lift.
Did they have to stop?
They had to stop it and everything. The guy had to pick him up, get him out of the snow.
All right, now let me ask you a question, Beer Mug. At that point, were you drunk?
No.
Oh.
No.
Completely sober.
No.
This was like the second night of the day.
I had not any substance in me. Not one ounce of substance. The tip of my board got stuck at the end of the runway.
Yeah.
And it literally pulled me off the chair. I wasn't the first one that did it that day. The guy told me.
He was being nice. It was just classic Mugs, and it was awesome. Yeah. All right, so we do a couple of runs, and then, you know, we're all waiting for the Offspring. And then, I don't know why Lightning just says, hey, Beer Mug, chug a beer.
Because I was standing there with a beer.
Yeah, yeah. So Beer Mug chugs it, and then we come up with a great idea. Oh, we should record that. So let's do it again. You know, Lightning, take two.
Yeah.
So, you know, he chugs another one, and my buddy doesn't record it. So he has to do it again. So Beer Mug, within 15 minutes, chugs four beers.
16-ounce beers at 8,000 feet of elevation.
Right. Why are you saying that to us? Like if you knew that, you shouldn't have done that. When you're at any elevation, it hits you a little harder than normal. You know that. You've been snowboarding.
Yeah, but for the sake of video and
oh, you did it for the kids.
Yeah, and the crowd that was hanging out there. I wanted to give them a good show.
All right, I have some audio from the video.
Yeah.
And you will hear Muggs is not in the best space.
I'm faced.
That was K-Rock Storms Bear Mountain in 60 seconds. Big Bear Mountain 1, Beer Mug 0.
Loved him. Don't worry, he's probably wondering, or the thought is going through your head right now that I'm going to lose your GoPro, but I would never do that. Ever. Better recognize. Out.
How'd you get back, Muggs?
I waited till about 7 o'clock at night. The whole mountain was closed. I was walking around
talking. This was yesterday, right?
This was yesterday.
Okay.
I was walking around talking to random people, just starting conversations with whoever I could start one with.
Right.
And I just waited, and then I drove over to Lightning's room, and we hung out, and we
watched. You were still too drunk to drive?
Yeah.
Let me answer this.
Yeah, yeah.
Our promotions team had to get him a room, and he had to stay the night.
There you go.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you just say that, Muggs?
Yeah.
Just say that.
I make things complicated.
Yes, yeah. You do.
So Beer Mug left Big Bear Mountain at 3 a.m. this morning to get here to work.
Yeah.
With a burned face.
At least your face is completely burned off.
Yeah.
So you got that working.
So no chapstick on.
Oh, no. I think keep doing what you're doing. I like it.
Thanks again to the Kevin Bean listeners who bought tickets for April Foolishness 2015, April 4th at the Shrine Auditorium. It is completely sold out. So you'll get a chance to see Tenacious D and Gabriel Iglesias, Ralphie May, Jay Moore, Adam Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, and Brad Williams on that night. It's going to be a great night of comedy. And now, believe it or not, as of this morning, we've added another act to the bill.
Well, we hope. We're not sure how this is going to go, but we're giving you the chance to open the show. So we're looking for a two-minute video. You can upload it to kevinandbean.com or krock.com and be funny. And you can open for the people that Bean just mentioned, which is an amazing time slot right there.
Yeah, it's going to be a super fun night with a packed house. Obviously, you know, we come out of the gate strong with this. And so there'll be 6,000 people there. So if you are looking for your big break as a comedian. And by the way, let me just say this, because I'm sure the questions will be coming in. We just announced this last hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't think we're putting any restrictions beyond 18 and up, right? That's the only restriction we're really putting on it in terms of if you've been somebody who's been a stand-up and you've done some, you know, you've played some clubs around town, you're not disqualified from that.
Right. We're not looking for unsigned or whatever. We're just looking for...
Exactly. Or unrepresented. We just want funny, funny people. So a two-minute video is all we are asking. We're opening that up for today. The close of the show on Friday, March 20th is when we're going to pick our top 10 finalists. And then the Kevin and Bean audience will vote on who gets to open the show. If that sounds like fun to you, just go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com for all the details.
You guys watching The Gotham?
Love
that show.
I dip in and out of Gotham. It's really good, though.
Jada Pinkett Smith came out, I think it was yesterday, and said she's not going to return. She only did a one-year deal as Fish Mooney, and she's not coming back.
I don't like it.
She's not coming back.
Why don't you like it, Allie?
Because I think she adds something that you don't know what's going to happen, because obviously Fish Mooney is not in the comic book. So you're not following along her storyline like, oh, that could never happen, because it's all new.
She's the wild card.
Yes. So I just feel like she could take off in so many different directions. There's no storyline for her.
Yeah, it does give the writer somewhere new to go where they're not beholden to the script from the comic book. That's a really good point. But she said she signed up to do it for a year. It's been a rewarding character, but she's going to move on. So we don't know what her final episodes for season one are going to be like on Gotham. But we thought, hey, why not? You know, we already have the phone number because of all the times we've talked to Jaden. Let's get Mom on the phone. Jada Pinkett Smith joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Jada.
Good morning, Kevin. And Bean.
You sound a little fired up. We're just talking just like regular people now.
I am fired up because I am so excited.
Excited, right.
About tonight's Gotham.
I'll do Gotham by Fox, right. Are you a little tired of living in a basement on the storyline? Is that what helped you make your decision, or was it something else, Jada?
I am now running the hospital that is on that island.
Right. Why do you talk like that?
Like what? If I may ask so indelicately, like what?
Does it sound to you like you're delivering your lines the same way the other actors are on the same TV show?
My concern is not with other actors.
Right.
My concern is with...
Is what? Wait, I didn't get that word.
You there?
Is what?
Is with...
With?
Yes.
My...
Your...
Performance.
Parliament?
Your performance?
Performance.
Performance.
Oh, performance. I'm sorry. Oh, you speak Jada, Allie. I'm sorry. I missed that.
Performance.
Okay. Well, you certainly are chewing up the scenery on that show over there on Fox.
Do not chew the scenery. I devour it.
I think you'd be perfect for Empire if you're looking for another gig.
I do
really enjoy that show. I might tune in.
Okay. Oh, my God. I'm so excited that Sunday is daylight savings.
Come on.
Time. So excited. Can't wait.
Saving, by the way. It's saving.
We're all excited. Daylight savings time is here. And
saving. 8:51 daylight saving time is where we're at. Rob is here. Time of the
we
show.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
We do?
Oh, what?
And then I won't even bother going into this.
A winner for what?
It doesn't matter. We already have a winner, so I don't have to be bothered.
I'm sure Rodney's paying attention.
Now, by the way, someone tweeted me a link to something called Petitions to Congress.
Okay.
Which is a petition that has been signed by some 36,000 Americans so far to get daylight savings time removed from American life.
Mm-hmm. Talk about daylight savings time?
Yes.
Saving.
It's a petition, which, by the way, says daylight savings time on the petition. And it goes to the president and to your local Congress representative.
I don't want to sign that because I look forward to watching Bean spin. He just, every time daylight savings kicks in, he loses it.
NBC News, how are we to trust you?
You should know better. I love that tone.
Guys, it's
a daylight savings asshole.
It's a very difficult time for me. I just am asking for some privacy for me and my family.
I'm not siding, Ralph. I want it to keep going.
All right.
This is too fun.
I know you like to vote for funny, always.
I do.
Yeah. Let me give you something. What do you say?
We have a winner, believe it or not.
I didn't even tell you what we have yet. I've got tickets to one of my favorite things in the world, PaleyFest.
Yeah!
PaleyFest 2015 is the television celebration in the month of March where the Paley Center for Media, previously known as the Museum of Television and Radio, gets together at the Dolby Theater there at Hollywood and Highland and celebrates television greats from the past and the present. Cast and creative teams from such shows as Homeland, Comedy Central, Girls, Scandal, Teen Wolf, Outlander, Arrow and Flash, Modern Family, Jane the Virgin, American Horror Story, and many, many more. Go to PaleyCenter.org for all the details. But I'd like to give you right now some tickets if you're a fan, and I know we have listeners who are fans of this show, Teen Wolf.
Some dreams come true.
Some dreams do come true. You will get to hang out with the cast and creative team of Teen Wolf. That's happening on March the 11th. Give me a call now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 11. Since it's March 11th, guests to spend the evening with the cast and creative team of Teen Wolf.
Why?
That Dylan O'Brien. Oh, he's dreamy.
He's dreamy.
He's so
dreamy. Obviously.
They're touting him as a possible Spider-Man.
Is that right?
Might be the next Spidey. Could be the new Peter Parker, that Dylan. Can I get my camera? Can I get my camera sound effect? Is that too much to ask for? Thanks so much.
Yep, there it is.
There it is. There's Kevin in a nutshell right there, boys and girls. Do
just
the same
ask.
Goddamn thing every day, 6 days,
just ask.
Six
That's
times
all.
A day,
all you have to do is
5 days a week.
Just ask.
How about just doing it? How about just doing it so I don't have to ask? How about just having it ready?
I'm saying just
at this
ask.
Time, at this time, every hour, just do that.
This hour is killing you.
This hour is killing me. I'm up too damn early. It's a problem. I want to give everybody, put everybody on notice. I will not be here on the Kevin and Bean Show on April the 30th.
April the 30th? What's happening that
day? I will be nads deep. I will be nads deep in the 29-hour Ultimate Marvel Marathon. Hello?
Did you say 29-hour
marathon?
That's
right. That's right. You heard me.
That's more than a day.
Did you say Nads Deep?
I will. It starts at 6 p.m. on April the 29th.
Okay.
AMC and Regal Cinemas have announced the Ultimate Marvel Marathon. It is the screening of every Marvel movie, starting with the original Iron Man that was released in 2008, all the way up to and including the first look at Avengers Age of Ultron.
Sounds pretty cool.
So we start with Iron Man at 6 p.m. on the 29th. Then around 8:25, we get into The Incredible Hulk. Then around 10:35, we watch Iron Man 2. Around 1 a.m. in the morning, we will start to getting into Thor. At 3:10 a.m., Captain America the First Avenger hits the screen. Then at 5:30 a.m., we watch the first Avengers movie. Then at 8:48 a.m., Iron Man 3. 11:15 a.m., Thor the Dark World. Around 1:45 in the afternoon on the 30th, Captain America the Winter Soldier. Around 4:20, around dinner time, Guardians of the Galaxy kicks in. And then at 7 o'clock... on April the 30th, we get Avengers Age of Ultron. You will be nice and rested and refreshed, ready to watch Avengers Age of Ultron
all of those people will sleep through that movie.
Well, no, what's this going to cost you? You're wondering, I'm sure, by now.
What's this going to cost us, Ralph?
11 Marvel movies for the low, low price of $65.
That is a bargain.
That's less than $6 a movie.
Wow. How many people, honestly, do you think have the stamina to watch movies in a theater for 29 hours straight?
Eight.
Eight people?
Eight people. I think there's eight people.
One of them certainly is Roland.
He will be there for sure.
Oh, Roland will be there, yeah.
He's got nothing else. He's got nothing else to do. But that's going to happen. Some people are going to do that.
Yeah. That's a lot.
I don't think I want to be exhausted when I watch Avengers Age of Ultron. I want to be freshly showered and have a jaunty spring to my step as I enter the theater and an appetite for superheroism. I want to be ready. I want to be prepared.
So this isn't for you.
I want to have a fresh condom in my pocket.
I'm sorry, what?
What? What'd you say? But if you want to, you can. Just telling you. Speaking of movies, let's take a look at who went to see what over the weekend. Chappie was number one at the box office with $13.3 million. Then Focus and the second exotic Marigold Hotel at number three. Kingsman and SpongeBob were the top five movies. Then 50 Shades of Grey at number six. McFarlane USA, The Lazarus Effect, The Duff. And at number 10 in the top 10, Unfinished Business, which was the new Vince Vaughn film.
I like that.
I did too. I liked it enormously. $4.8 million made it number five.
Ten.
I'm sorry, number 10, yeah. So what I meant to say was less than $5 million it made in its debut. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Super sad.
That's super sad. Because we had Vince in and we love him. And he's one of the best people we know. And it's silly that you people do not go to see his movie.
If it looked good to you, go this next week or next weekend.
Do that.
Because it is good.
And call in and we'll get right back.
Real quick, I heard that guy say that one time.
Real quick email before I get to the celebrity birthdays. This comes from a listener, Kevin O'Neill. Always nice to hear from Kevin. Ralph, I was helping my daughter do homework for her music class. She is studying opera. Even though it was not my favorite, being a good dad, I helped her. We discussed some of the greats and listened to a few of their songs. Well, this went on for what seemed like hours. Finally, we were done. I was so tired, I went straight to bed. In the morning, though, I woke up singing Pavarotti.
I woke up in a new Bugatti. I woke up singing Pavarotti. I woke up singing Pavarotti. Yeah. I woke up singing Pavarotti. Yeah.
That's new.
You woke up singing Pavarotti.
What an amazing time.
I'm always evolving as an artist.
Clearly.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Linda Fiorentino is 55 years old today. 30 Seconds to Mars drummer Shannon Leto is 45. Emmanuel Lewis.
You all right?
Excuse me. I'm not long for this world. Emmanuel Lewis is 44 years old.
What's he doing now? Does anyone know?
He is currently a college mascot. He is the Temple Owl.
I don't believe that's true.
Yes.
I do not think that's true.
He's getting ready for NCAA basketball.
That's
he is
not
a
true.
Mascot. He is.
So.
He is. I don't know what he's doing. LA Clippers forward Matt Barnes is 35 years old today. Newfound Glory guitarist Chad Gilbert is 34. Brittany Snow, lovely and talented actress, is 29. And we found out this morning that if you go outside the studios of K-Rock and ask someone at random with a $20 bill in your hand who Clint Dempsey is, well, if they're British, they can give you the right answer.
Sir, you look reputable. For $20, can you tell me who Clint Dempsey is?
He's a soccer player.
Boom!
Boom! $20 is yours. You got... Are you a soccer fan?
Yes, I'm English, so of course.
Freaking Brits.
A lot of Americans know Clint Dempsey as well.
Nah. We had two Americans previous to that guy.
Those two people didn't speak English at all.
That's America, son.
Zero people.
Welcome to America.
He was the captain for the U.S.
London.
Soccer team.
Well, go back to London. Then go back to London and appreciate that then, Kevin. Go back where you came from.
I'm from here.
Oh.
Yeah. So is Clint Dempsey, by the way. He's American. Yeah.
Well, everyone... who likes Clint Dempsey should be British because they care about football. Oh, football. Oh, I like football. Yeah, I'm a big football fan. Freaking Brits. This is why
British
we fought
people.
The war.
Oh, they're polite and the men all sound gay, but they will rip out your heart.
Exactly. This is why we fought the War of Independence, my friends, to stop this kind of ridiculousness. Them coming here, taking our buses. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:34.
And we have time for one more look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
Well, that Chris Pratt, that Chris Evans, all those Chris's.
Yeah.
They're good guys. I never saw over the weekend or not, but the bet between, excuse me, Chris Pratt and Chris Evans, the Super Bowl bet, has finally been paid off on both sides. Chris Pratt, a diehard Seattle Seahawks fan, lost his bet to Chris Evans.
Please, let's not.
Who is a Patriots fan.
I forget how the game ended. Do you remember, Ralph? Because I'm having trouble.
I believe it was just...
What happened?
Can we not? Can we just move on from that? Can it be March now instead of Super Bowl time?
I think Seattle made excellent choices all the way down to the wire, and it's just one of those situations where things didn't work out for them. That's what I believe happened.
That's how you remember that, is it?
That's how I remember it, yeah. So this was the bet, that whoever lost would have to dress up in his superhero costume, either Star-Lord or Captain America, and visit the kids' hospital of the other actor's choosing. Well, with all said and done, they both agreed to do that for each other's charities. So this weekend, it was Chris Evans dressed up as Captain America, who was visiting the Seattle Children's Hospital with his shield, and he was there in full costume and meeting and greeting with all the kids. You saw any of the photos over the weekend. You know how heartwarming it was. So it was nice to see those two guys doing nice things for nice people.
That is awesome.
They are truly... They truly kind of hold up the superhero mantle, you know, when they go out and meet with their fans and stuff. It seems like they truly appreciate that these kids look up to them and act accordingly, which is nice.
They had that other Chris Hemsworth was the host of SNL this weekend.
Yes.
I know I'm the millionth person to say this. He's pretty dreamy.
All right. Noted.
No, I'm just saying.
Right.
You don't realize.
I understand.
You know, you see him in the movies, that's one thing. But then you see him doing the SNL and you go, my God, he's ridiculous
looking.
We understand
he's an attractive.
Like, it doesn't
man,
seem
yes.
like. I mean, it seems like he's made in a lab or something.
We get it. It's okay.
Like, how can that be real?
All right. Put your penis away.
Those cheekbones, piercing eyes, muscles.
Wow. Holy crap. I want to be anywhere else right now.
Come on, Allie. You got my back on that,
come
right?
Come on.
I don't want your back on this.
Creepy alert.
Your front, your back, your side, just any part of you.
It's just ridiculous, though.
Got it.
Like, how are we the same species, is what I'm saying. Like,
you're
you look at him and you go,
you're not. You're not the same species as us, let alone Chris Hemsworth.
Just crazy.
They did a very funny sketch on that show. The only thing I saw a clip today of... Bobby Moynihan is playing a guy in the field, a reporter,
mm-hmm.
and the Avengers have just beat Ultron, and so all the superheroes are being interviewed, and Thor is like just going off like a guy who's won the Super Bowl. We rock! We are the champions! He's like pumping his fist, he's high-fiving everybody in the audience and stuff. After party's going to be at Buster's, Dave and Buster's down the street. It was very fun. Check it out. More superhero news. Marvel, speaking of those movies, is doing a 29-hour Marvel movie marathon in conjunction with AMC and Regal Cinemas. 29 hours, starting at 6 p.m. on the 29th of April. They will run through all 11 Marvel movies that have been released since Iron Man. And then at the end, they will give you an early look at the Avengers Age of Ultron. 29 hours of movies.
So 29 hours.
That's what I'm saying.
Straight of movies.
Yeah. That's dumb.
Is it too much? Is
yes.
there a point at which it's too much?
Yeah, it's dumb because I love all these movies, and mm-hmm. I would fall asleep in the middle of Iron Man 3 or Thor or The Dark World. I mean, whatever the midpoint level is, 20, not staying up for 29 hours.
Yeah.
If you are, you're so goofy and delirious.
Yeah.
By the time Age of Ultron comes around, why do you want to have to go back to see that movie again? Because you couldn't remember it the first time you saw it.
And am I wrong about this, Rob? I would leave Guardians out of that list. Isn't that a standalone compared to all the other Avengers-related movies that seem to be interconnected?
Well, there's no crossover yet with those characters, but they are going to fold.
Okay.
They are part of the Marvel Universe, and they will be folded in at some point. So they're all part of the universe.
29 hours in a row.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Boy, Marvel does great work with these films and also folding in their TV properties. I mean, the fact that Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. all are also part of this world, and it's kind of nice how it all, yeah. all comes together. The
I like
synergy.
It all. I don't like it all 29 hours in a row, but I like it all.
I don't know if you remember or not, we talked about this at the time. There was, back in January, an auction of a one-of-a-kind Elvis Presley record that he recorded two songs. I believe this is the legendary record that he recorded for his mom. Am I right, Bean?
That's correct. Yeah, $3.99 for an acetate.
He went into this place that recorded a one-off record for you, and he recorded two songs for his mom. That's When Your Heartaches Begin and My Happiness. And this was a gift for his mother. It was the first time he ever recorded his voice singing. He was 18 years old in Memphis. It went up for auction in January, sold for $300,000, this record.
Wow.
To a mystery bidder. No one knew who the bidder was. Well, now we do. It was Jack White.
Yeah! Interesting.
Jack White loves things that are recorded on wax. He loves
sense.
Edison scrolls, and he loves things that are from dead people, that dead people do. Anyway, he's going to share this with everyone. He is going to release this record, not the actual one, but versions of it, will be released in time for Record Store Day on April 18th on his Third Man Records label. You'll be able to hear this rare Elvis Presley record for yourself on Record Store Day.
Open up a blog.
I have a clip of My Happiness. We want to hear a little bit.
I would
bit
love
of
to hear, Kevin, some of the first recorded Elvis Presley song ever.
Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves are such a mess. But hopefully all you noticed was my knockout dress. I dropped that bomb and I love making you laugh. I've been working so hard, yeah, time and a half.
Elvis, flying down the rapids, my heart is beating fast. I hope I don't fall out so I can do Nicholas last.
You think by screaming Elvis that somehow we will think, oh, that does sound like Elvis Presley?
I believe that was my thought process, yes.
You're a fascinating man.
I've got the other side of the record.
Oh,
if you'd like to hear
great.
A little
I'd
bit
love
of
to hear the other
That's
song
Where My Heartaches Begin.
That because... also was the first time Elvis Presley ever was recorded singing this song.
Elvis!
See, it helped. It really does bring it to life.
It does.
You too. Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame.
How dare you.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Linda Fiorentino's 55 years old today. 30 Seconds to Mars drummer Shannon Leto is 45. Emmanuel Lewis is 44. L.A. Clippers forward Matt Barnes is 35. I forgot to ask Dave how they did last night, the Clippers. I forgot to get an update from him.
They lost.
Oh, okay. Thanks so much. Brittany Snow is 29 years old today. Chad Gilbert, Newfound Glory guitarist, is 34. And here on my list, Dave Sanchez put the name of someone named Clint Dempsey, who I originally thought was a 1920s silent movie cowboy. But no, apparently he is some sort of athlete, and I mockingly said we couldn't. If you took $20 out into the street and asked just the person going by who Clint Dempsey was, no one would be able to tell you what he did for a living. And this is what happened when Beer Mug went out.
Sir, you look reputable. For $20, can you tell me who Clint Dempsey is?
He's a soccer player.
Boom! $20 is yours. You got... Are you a soccer fan?
Yes, I'm English, so of course.
Of course. Freaking Brits.
By the way, I still 100% back Ralph's remark that the average American on the street doesn't know who Clint Dempsey is.
Right.
I'm not saying he's not a professional athlete, he's not a star, but I'm saying he's a star in a very specific world.
Yes, England. Apparently. That's the world where he's a star.
He plays in Seattle. He's the captain of the U.S. soccer team.
But Americans don't
be a dumbass.
Care.
Maybe.
That's what
I'm saying.
Maybe
some do.
But Kevin, they don't.
But some do.
Kevin, what percent in your mind of
99
average Americans would know who Clint Dempsey was?
That's Kevin for you right there. 99% of Americans know who Clint
Standing
Dempsey
by that. Happy with that answer.
Does it matter that we talked to three Americans before we got to the British guy who didn't know who he
they
was?
Didn't speak any English, though.
That's my America right there. Melting pot. Now, you hate immigrants, but I say welcome all. Give me your tired and your poor and your yearning people.
Hungry, yearning to be free.
With the hungry and all of the coming into welcome to my lamp. I hold it above the shining shore.
USA!
Yeah, right.
USA!
That's what I say.
USA!
Come under my dress. And welcome to my vulva of freedom.
That's a Dave Matthews lyric, I think. Now you're confused.
They're on the Statue of Liberty.
Right.
Yes. Vulva of freedom, by the way.
That's a good band.
Playing at the Truro. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Petros will join us in studio, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a marathon tonight
this
of The Bachelor.
A big farewell party.
It's 29 hours, right?
No, it's a three-hour tour of love, heartbreak, and loss. Looking forward to it.
We also have Ashley Esqueda from CNET in the studio talking about the Apple Watch and a brand new internet roundup tomorrow morning.